Wow, you look awesome.
I woke up like this. I woke up like this. Flawless.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley. You know what's terrible? Haters with no swag crumple y'all up like a paper bag. Crunch. How come ding dongs look like hockey pucks? Let's get dangerous. Darkwing Duck. Barkley. Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley.
And now. Our feature presentation.
Stop it, indeed.
No kidding.
What's the Charles Barkley rap? I love it, but what is it?
That's our little friend GMC Fauchot.
Oh, of course.
He's I'm the best. He's casually drinking milk.
Casually drinking milk.
He's all of our greatest hits.
Yeah.
God, I love that guy so much. And you were on vacation, Kevin, when we finally caught up with him and talked to him on the phone. Super fun guy. Lives out there in Detroit, makes his rap videos. He's great. GMC Fauchot. You totally have to check him out. He's also Birthday. He's that guy.
Sure, yeah. Oh, he's done all the hits. I got it.
Yeah, he's the best.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 4th of March.
Where's my little Lisa May?
I do not know.
Please call us, Lisa.
I figured out why Bean misses Lisa so much when we're gone, because he spends a lot of his time talking nonsense that Muggs doesn't care about and I don't care about with Lisa. And she's just too nice to say, wow, I don't care about that. There she is.
Yay.
She just walked in. So really, that's the only person Bean has to talk to.
Well, and then when something like, Downton Abbey or one of my stories comes up, then she's the only one I can talk to about, because you guys don't watch any of the good shows.
Right.
So let's talk heart attacks.
All right.
Because clearly Muggs is going to have one, right? I mean, any day now, Muggs' heart's going to explode. And he's gonna pop, and the studio is just gonna be pudding and barbecue sauce, right?
Yeah, I think that's a foregone conclusion.
Two stories in the news yesterday about people who had heart attacks. Both survived, and both were in the right place at the right time. One of them is the member of a band called Alkari on stage in Austin, Texas. A 37-year-old guitarist named Mike Beattie has a heart attack on stage.
Wow.
Why was he in the right place at the right time? Because there were two registered nurses in the audience, one of whom jumped up on stage and immediately began doing CPR. The other, by the way, who assisted, is a member in another band that was playing in the same club that night called Devil Killing Moth. The venue that they were playing at in Austin is also blocks away from the Texas Medical Center, where after they stabilized the man, they took him to the hospital, and apparently he's going to be fine. Now, he's had a heart murmur his whole life. He's on prescription medicine, so he was certainly aware that he had a problem, but he's never had a heart attack before.
Wow.
But thank God you have it in a place, you know, you always see in the TV and in the movies, is there a doctor in the house? In this case, there were two nurses in the house, but, you know, it could have just as easily been an hour before that just driving to the venue.
Yeah, true.
So you just got to look at that and go, wow, no one wants to have a heart attack, but if you're going to, that's a good place to do it. The other story comes out of New Hartford, New York. A 66-year-old man had a heart attack over the weekend on Sunday. He was running in a Heart Association fundraising run.
All right.
You gotta love it.
State police say an unidentified emergency medical technician stopped and began resuscitation efforts on 66-year-old Michael Wolford after he collapsed during America's Greatest Heart Run and Walk near Utica. Apparently, he fell down. Another walker alerted two troopers who were working nearby. A police officer had one of those defibrillators in his car, was able to go over and immediately start assisting the guy.
Wow.
That's amazing.
It is. It's incredible. I mean, look, there's, you know, obviously the irony is not lost on anyone that he has a heart attack while, you know, try to raise money for the Heart Association. But I mean, in both cases, these are people who could have easily died if they just hadn't been exactly where they were.
Yeah.
So I guess that's my my takeaway from Muggs. Not that he's in here or listening, but my takeaway from Muggs is he should never go anywhere without trained medical personnel nearby.
Yeah, at least two. At least
exactly.
Two people that can follow on.
So, and for the record, please, a happy early morning story where everybody survives. Just like yesterday with the kid with the teeth in his brain. He was fine, too. So this is going to be this is a good week for people getting out of trouble.
The kid had teeth in his brain.
Yeah, you missed that one yesterday,
Lisa.
I don't
even want to ask.
Oh, my God.
I'm really afraid to know anything about that. I'm just happy he's okay.
Yesterday, he's a four-month-old. Doctors knew something was going on with his head. It wasn't quite right, and they had a tumor. They went in to operate. They found fully formed teeth in his brain.
So was that like a twin that absorbed into his head?
No, it's a tumor that I can't remember the specific details, but it's a tumor that is made out of the same stuff that teeth are made out of.
Gross.
Yeah. And they've never seen this before.
Yeah, gross.
But he's fine.
Well, good. And he'll have a good story.
Yeah. He does have the crazy story to tell. And as Kevin pointed out yesterday, I hope Lady Gaga gets her hands on those because that'll add to her collection.
Add it to her necklace.
Teeth with a story.
All right. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I don't care.
Okay. How about if I told you Danny Trejo was going to be coming into the studio?
Yay!
That's pretty cool.
Got a new TV show called St. George. Very excited about that. We have, we're going to tell you about a new app that will help you get along with your girlfriend. Who doesn't need
great?
That?
I don't think
now,
so.
Now, why the negativity?
Not gonna work. Come on.
How do you know? Have you tried it?
Are we tested on mugs?
No. Has to be stable.
Oh, all right.
We also are going to take some phone calls from you in the 6 o'clock hour, next hour, if you passed out in embarrassing ways. I don't know if you saw the George Lopez story.
Oh, yeah.
But at a casino to perform and supposedly did 51 shots, which to me sounds impossible, but passed out on the floor of the casino that he was working in.
That's brilliant.
So that's strong.
I bet a lot of our listeners have just passed out wherever they are in lots of unusual places.
Sure. There's no question about that. Our audience is the audience. And the host of the Bachelor, Chris.
Look, I don't like the show. I don't watch the show. I like this Chris Harrison.
I like Chris Harrison, too.
He's a good dude.
He'll be a lot of fun. But he's a good dude. So we're going to talk to him as well. Plus, don't forget, we are giving away tickets for Coachella. 3-day passes. You can win at 9 a.m. every day between now and the festival. So keep listening for that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 551.
Kevin, you mentioned we have Coachella passes, 3-day passes at 9 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Check this out. We're also giving away tickets to enjoy Bear Mountain with K-Rock. We also have tickets for the K-Rock screening of Bad Words, the new Jason Bateman movie. And we also have LA Galaxy tickets. All of that on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show as we continue to try to buy your love. Right now, Ralph Garman joins us in studio. Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Rumors are that Scarlett Johansson is reportedly pregnant with her first child. How about that?
Well, that's exciting.
Father is her fiancé, French journalist Romain Doriac, or Kevin, says People and Us Weekly magazine. So I guess we'll have to wait till the Maury Povich show to find out exactly.
A lot of people have just been assuming.
Not the father.
A lot of people have been assuming for a good reason.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hollywood relationship news. Robin Thicke continues to embarrass himself as he tries to win back his separated wife, Paula Patton. Yesterday, the news was that he admitted on stage he's trying to get his girl back before he broke into one of his romantic songs. And the audience went, oh, poor Robin.
Poor guy.
Trying to get his wife back. Meanwhile, they say his wife was busy trying to cozy up to Jeremy Renner at the Independent Spirit Awards last weekend. So it looks like Paula Patton may have moved on while Robin Thicke continues to try to win her back after his bad boy behavior. I wonder if we should do a phone topic at some point here on the show of the most extent you've ever gone to try to win back somebody.
It's a good idea.
Like to get your girlfriend, boyfriend, husband, wife back. To what crazy extent that you've gone. I think getting up on stage in front of tens of thousands of people and declaring how badly you want your wife back, I think it's pretty extreme.
Sure. Especially if it didn't work, though. Then it's really funny.
And it usually doesn't.
Yeah.
No matter what you're doing, no matter how far you're willing to put yourself out there.
She's just like, oh, God, no.
Yeah, it almost gets worse the bigger a gesture you make, yep. I think. The more you kind of push that person away. Meanwhile, John Mayer is reportedly not sitting by himself bemoaning the fact that his relationship with Katy Perry is over. They say, surprisingly, he has moved on to other women.
What?
I know.
He always struck me as a woman, one-woman guy.
Yeah. One woman on each limb. he was reportedly seen hitting up a beautiful young woman at a pre-Oscar party over the weekend, and the lucky girl seemed very, very enthralled with Mr. Mayer as well.
All right.
So, congratulations. Speaking of Oscars, I guess caviar and champagne aren't really the choice of celebrities anymore when they go to party.
Because it was
interesting news over the weekend. TMZ.com reported that several marijuana delivery services were overrun with orders for weed last Sunday and increased their sales by 45%.
Wow.
Apparently, a strain called Dream Queen is very popular.
Hang on, let me make a note.
Yeah. And some folks, they had to hire on extra drivers to keep up the demand for delivery orders throughout the Hollywood community. A lot of people wanting to smoke up some Dream Queen.
It's probably the only way that you can watch that show in its entirety without getting frustrated.
I guess so. The guy who delivered the pizza to the Oscars?
Yep.
Turns out he did pretty well for himself.
Real delivery guy.
I love that.
From, what was the name of the restaurant
we
got here?
Big Mama's and Papa's Pizza.
And Ellen passed the hat for him. You may remember it was Pharrell's hat, too, by the way. It was that goofy hat in the audience. And Harvey Weinstein and Kevin Spacey and John Travolta, Brad Pitt, Chiwetel Ejiofor, they all chipped in. Well, she brought him out on her show yesterday, did Ellen. And said, you left before I could get you a tip, so I passed the hat around. I ended up getting around $600. Here's some more, so now you have a total of $1,000.
Wow, gave him right.
Tip of $1,000 for delivering a couple pies to the to the Dolby. So,
wow.
Not too shabby.
Not to mention being on that telecast for that long.
Yes. Tadolf Swindler.
Thank you. Nope.
Evil succubus from hell. Has picked up a restraining order.
Against Bean?
No, against a guy named Timothy Sweet.
Hang on, Ralph. I'm sorry.
There we go.
How dare you?
Did you see the pictures of her from the Vanity Fair party?
You are supposed to be reflecting all of our taste.
I'm reflecting the world's taste on this.
Incorrect,
one.
Sir.
Timothy Sweet claims he's married to her.
What?
Yeah. So obviously he's a little around the bend. Timothy also says he will kill anybody who stands between him and Taylor Swift. Well, Mr. Sweet, you know Bean loves Taylor Swift. He's probably trying to get in between you and your wife. He is your biggest threat, I would think, Timothy Sweet, if you're listening, Timothy Sweet.
We do have an address.
I'm just saying.
How dare you.
You can email us here at krock.com and we'll put you in touch with the right people.
How many, I follow my competition, you know, make sure I'm stepping up my game where needed, but how many letters did he write to her? Did you see anything in the news about that?
No, Ralph, I didn't see that.
Like hundreds of times he's written letters to her, apparently.
Well, you want to keep in touch with your wife, don't you?
Right.
I guess.
Maybe you're not that way, but I like to keep in touch with my wife, and I'm sure Timothy does as well.
I prefer to play a little cooler, let Taylor come to me a little bit.
A little bit. How much is a little bit?
Bean said keeping track of his competition.
Yeah. You know, in the stalker world. Yeah,
sure.
It's a lot of pressure to stay on top.
Right.
And this is going to surprise you, but Sean Connery's, excuse me, a little cranky.
What?
Yeah. The original 007 told the British tabloid The London Sun that Scotland should separate from Great Britain.
Uh-oh, he's jumping into that fray?
Yeah, well, he's been there for a long time. He's been wanting separation for Scotland to form its own nation for some time.
Has Ireland, they've been doing that too, right?
Well, Ireland's done it for some
time. They've done it forever, right?
Except for the North, of course. They've been a republic. He thinks that Scotland should be a republic as well and separate from Great Britain. He thinks it would galvanize the local film industry, create new jobs, and bring renewed focus to Scottish culture, heritage, and creative excellence. He thinks it would be an excellent move for them to withdraw from England. A lot of people say it would be a financial disaster if they were to do that. But
he needs to debate David Bowie on it.
Yeah, it'd be awesome. I think they shouldn't do it.
I think they should do it.
That second pull would be much. Later today, I will have it. The minute the news breaks, I will have for you the cast of Dancing with the Stars. So
everyone stay tuned.
It'll be announced this morning on Good Morning America. So far, the rumors we have are Bruce Jenner and a Sochi Olympian will also be amongst the new cast. So we'll have a former Olympian and a current Olympian. I'll keep you posted. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Catherine O'Hara from SCTV to all the Christopher Guest movies, the Home Alone films, 60 years old today. Michael T. Williamson is 57. Actress Patricia Heaton, who played Ray Romano's wife on Everybody Loves Raymond. Now she's in the middle. 56 years old. Steven Weber from Wings and from movies and stuff. Funny man. good actor, 53 years old. Evan Dando of the Lemonheads is 47. Actress Patsy Kensit. You may know her from The Lethal Weapon 2, I want to say. 3, maybe? She also was in a band called Eighth Wonder. That I liked a lot, and she did a movie with David Bowie, speaking of David Bowie, called Absolute Beginners. Wasn't she married to one of the Oasis guys, too? Wasn't she married to Liam? I think she was.
I think she was married to Liam, yes. Yeah. That's right.
Fergal Lahr of the Cranberries is 43, and, ooh, Kevin, Landon Donovan! Yeah. Ooh! Ooh, Landon Cakes! Ooh!
How come you guys can be excited about sports, but what I do, I get this treatment. I don't have to put up with this.
He's going to be on Friday's show, by the way, Ralph.
Soccer player Landon Donovan is 32 years old today. Oh, Kevin, what are you sporting over there? Are you pitching a tent?
If I was, you'd know it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Chris Harrison, host of The Bachelor on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Also, Machete himself, Danny Trejo, is going to be here as well. Hey, we talked a lot about the Academy Awards yesterday. There's one little bit of leftover business that has to do with John Travolta. Now, Lisa, you weren't here yesterday.
Right.
But John Travolta, first of all, 60 years old. Did you have any idea he was that old? I didn't.
I did not know.
Especially with that youthful hair that he's got going on. He looks so young and natural. But I felt bad for him a little bit because I certainly would not want to be mocked worldwide for mispronouncing a person's name because Lord knows I've done it enough. But then on the other side of the ledger, I guess I would learn how to pronounce somebody's name if I were going to be doing it on the Oscars. I would take the minute that it would take to figure out how to pronounce Idina Menzel's name, I guess.
By the way, and not he's also a fan of musicals. He's been in musicals, musical theater. He was the star of Grease. I didn't know who she was, but he had to certainly know who she was.
I would think so, yes.
And B, they told him, and I'm sure they wrote it down, and I'm sure he had time to look at it before he went out and made a fool of himself.
Yeah, they all rehearsed. Right.
In the unlikely event that you missed how he tried to say Idina Menzel's name before introducing her to sing a song on the Oscars, here's how it came out from John Travolta.
Please welcome the wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
What? Not even close.
He said Adele Dazeem instead of Idina Menzel.
Now, even if he just screwed up, he read it wrong, he couldn't see, whatever, how do you come out with Adele Dazeem?
Adele Dazeem.
That's inside out, isn't it?
I really don't know.
Well, we wanted to find out. We asked producer Dave. We gave him yesterday to track down John Travolta, Oscar nominated himself back in the day, by the way. And he joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Travolta.
So weird.
It is. It is kind of weird.
So weird to be talking about this.
Yeah.
Twice nominated, by the way.
Oh, that's right. Pulp Fiction and Saturday Night Fever, right?
Yeah.
Right.
This is so cool.
So, John, you're a professional, you're an actor, you read lines, you're used to being in a situation like this, you couldn't have been that nervous being John Travolta. What went wrong?
It's weird, you know. You're out there on stage and you're reading.
Right.
And I thank you for giving me this opportunity, Kelvin and Brazine.
No problem. Kevin and Bean.
That's what I said.
Right.
To go and, you know, tell everybody how sorry I am to Adele that I didn't get the name right.
It's Idina. Idina Menzel is the correct name.
Carver, let me tell you something.
Kevin.
Cliven, let me tell you something.
Okay.
It's a lot of pressure when you're out there on stage, you know?
Right, but don't you have time beforehand, I don't know, to look it over, memorize it? Don't you have cue cards in front of you so you can read it?
It was so funny. Before I stepped on stage, I said to my wife, Clacky.
Kelly.
Her name is Kelly.
Kelly.
Wouldn't it be so weird if I said the wrong name here?
Yeah.
And she's like, ooh. I said him. You know, him. Adina. Gazelle.
That's not a guy. It's a girl.
You're right.
Yeah. Wow. You're just confused. Just having a bad night, I guess.
Well, it's not easy, you know, to be a celebrity.
Right.
And people, when they see me, they say, there's John Travolta.
Nobody says there's John Travolta.
And so the pressure is, you know, extra on you when you're out there.
Right.
So it can be so weird.
John, did you have a long list? You didn't. You didn't have any other name but hers,
just
right?
Just Adele's, yeah.
Just Idina Menzel.
Even the Menzel.
Can you say Idina even now, like without the Oscars pressure? Can you say Idina?
Javina.
Idina.
Rabina.
Idina.
Galina.
What are you talking about? Menzel.
Kismel.
I don't think it's Kismel, I got to be honest.
Javel?
No.
Well, at least your hair looked good.
Robinzel.
Idina Menzel.
Pasta Fazul.
You got to get it right. Just one time, just to redeem yourself.
Idina?
Yes.
Yes.
Bibbidi bobbidi boo.
All right, good. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 22 minutes after 6.
And that song was my prom song in the 70s? Where the hell did Snow Patrol come from? What's going on now?
Just plain old good advice for traffic. That's
okay.
All.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday. It's weird. I hadn't thought about George Lopez in a long time. But he's on my radar twice now. A, Danny Trejo's coming in later on today. He co-stars in a new George Lopez sitcom that we'll be talking to him about. So George Lopez is back on TV. George Lopez continues to do stand-up all around the world, and he was in the news over the weekend on TMZ.com when he's playing a casino in Canada. And apparently in his statement, he says, tied one on last night, not feeling great this morning. I was trying to sleep it off. Unfortunately, it was on the casino floor.
Wow. He was passed out, laying down on the casino floor.
I think I love that.
He couldn't even get back to his room.
This is the headliner at a comedy show at a casino. And imagine if you're in Canada to see George Lopez and you come across him on the rug in the casino.
That'd be like in Vegas, you know, you're walking by and there's Jerry Seinfeld passed out
right
on the floor. You go, aren't you supposed to be entertaining me in 3 hours?
They did not arrest him, but they did put him in the drunk tank to dry up a little bit. And he was back performing the next day and apparently no worse for the wear and tear. But it got us, Ralph had a great idea, which is especially with our audience, with the Kevin and Bean listeners. Our audience falls asleep in a lot of places, usually as a result of drunkenness,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, falls asleep, we need to put in quotations, because really passed out.
Passed out, right.
Yeah.
So George Lopez, if he were on the phone, he could say, Kevin and Bean, I woke up on the carpet of a casino in Canada.
Right.
That's where I fell asleep. We want to know where you woke up. What's the story? Give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. We had to have Dave the King of Mexico in here because, let's face it, no one has fallen asleep more bizarre places than Dave.
But Dave also has this weird thing where he can literally fall asleep anywhere.
That's right.
I mean, it's not always from partying.
Yeah, back in the sleepy era, though. You
the
know,
sleepy
I'm not,
era.
Yeah, I don't do that anymore, but I got off it. But, you know, there was once where I went out with Bean to a Kiss concert.
Okay.
And we were fourth row, center stage.
Fourth row for Kiss.
Kiss.
Pretty loud.
Yes.
A lot of fireworks.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Explosions.
Spitting blood, the makeup, the loud
fire,
guitars.
Yeah.
Fire, yeah.
Oh, dead asleep. Just, and that was asleep. That wasn't even passed out.
Wait, during the show?
Oh, yeah.
While they were playing,
everything was going on. I missed most of it. Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
Look, it's one thing to fall asleep at the movies, okay?
Right.
When it's dark and quiet and cool and comfortable and you're in a cozy chair and everything. It's another thing 15 feet from Gene Simmons spitting blood at you.
That's
all right, so
awesome.
That's time one, Dave.
Oh, and another time was at, remember we used to go to the Olympic Gardens strip club?
Nope.
Yeah. Well, once I went there on my own and decided to put my head down on the stage where the runway where the women walk.
I don't think you're on your own because I remember this.
Okay. Then, and then just proceeded to fall asleep. With money in my hand.
Now, you have to understand that at the strip club, there are tables and stuff further from the stage. So if you're not sitting right up there, you're not expected to tip. But if you are sitting right up at the stage, you're really supposed to sort of pay attention and tip.
You're not supposed to sleep.
Well, I don't think sleeping is part of it.
Yeah,
no.
I mean, look, not only was my head in the way of the girls walking, but
I was out. I was like, is he sleeping?
I was Imagine the crisis going on in those girls' minds if they think, all right, I'm already up here shaking my moneymaker. And now look, people are falling asleep during the act.
Oh, even sadder.
That has to be tough for them. I thought this was interesting. Again, we're taking your calls. Where do you wake up? 1-800-520-1067.
By the way, I found this. I'm sorry, let me just interrupt. The more embarrassing, the better. As usual.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
As usual, we're looking for the most embarrassing.
I found this article called The 13 Weirdest Places People Have Fallen Asleep.
Okay.
And this is with photos, by the way, and it's kind of crazy. Here's a picture of a police officer asleep in the trunk of his car.
In the trunk?
Here's a guy asleep in a shopping cart. Here's a guy asleep on top of a motorcycle. Now, the motorcycle isn't riding or anything like that. It's parked, but he's lying on top of the motorcycle.
That's
sound asleep. Here's a guy who apparently was on the phone at a phone booth, if you remember what those are. He is standing up and sound asleep, leaning up against the side of the phone booth.
That's a whole different level of being able to sleep on your feet.
Yeah.
Here's a guy. You got to see this photo. Here's a guy who's out hunting. He's wearing the, you know, the bright orange hunting jacket. He is sound asleep, leaning up against a tree. He's got the rifle across his lap, and there's a deer 1 foot from him grazing. And he is sound asleep.
Love it.
Who took that picture?
It doesn't say. And my favorite and my final one is, and I'm sure this has happened to our listeners, here's a guy who's sound asleep on the toilet. So there you go. Oh. I think you can fall asleep anywhere if you're tired or drunk enough. So let's take a couple of calls at 1-800-520-1067. And don't let me forget, by the way, before we're done with this conversation, to talk about where a beer mug fell asleep, because that's an all-time Kevin Bean classic. Let's go to Richard. He's on line one. I think he's got a story that may sound familiar to you guys. Hey, Richard.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi there.
So I fell asleep. They were closing the freeway. I can't remember the exit. I think it was Beach Boulevard exit. I ended up falling asleep in my truck because traffic's obviously moving extremely slow. It's like 3 in the morning.
Wait, you were driving?
I was driving.
Was it stopped or was it moving slow?
Well, stop and go.
Okay.
Because everybody's getting off on the same exit, Beach Boulevard, 91. So, passed out. I come to, woken up against the cop car, just standing there like, oh, like, what's going on here? I had been drinking, so I figured, goose, no problem. But I ended up blowing, I think what I want to assume is a .08. Because after I blew, the cop was, you see exasperation on his face.
Oh, because he couldn't keep you, you mean?
Oh, yeah. He sent me home after that. And they're like, what do you, they just get mad and frustrated and send me on my way.
Yeah, they should be frustrated. Yeah.
Thank you for the call very much. You know, I ride a ferry from time to time where I live, coming off the island. And it happens a couple times a month. Somebody will fall asleep on the ferry. So then when the boat docks and all the traffic's trying to get off, a ferry worker has to go and knock on the window to wake somebody up because they're sound asleep behind the wheel. Let's go to, we got a bunch of good ones here. Let's go to Steven. He's on line 4. This is a crazy story about where he woke up.
Hi, Steven.
What it do, everybody?
What it do?
Where did you fall asleep?
I passed out on the Vegas Strip. Woke up in the hospital with the catheter in.
Oh, no, that's a whole nother level of pain.
No. Take a guess what day I woke up on.
The day after St. Patrick's Day.
The day of my wedding.
Oh.
Oh, no. The day of your wedding? Sweet.
Was your wedding in Vegas?
Yeah, my wedding was in the outside of Vegas, like some little lake area.
Right.
And I woke up, my wife didn't know where I was at. She just was panicking, and, you know, finally I showed up. When I showed up in a hospital gown, I was staying at the Palms place, you know, that's a really nice place.
Mm-hmm.
And they just all stared at me because I was, you know, everyone's just staring at me like, what the hell? And I get into an elevator and the guy doesn't see me. He goes, dude, what the hell happened to you? I was like, oh, man, what time is it? And he goes, it's 11:30. I go, cool, man, I got enough time to sleep before I have to go get married.
I hesitate
really?
To ask
You're
any
ask
more.
Ask another question.
I hesitate
That's
to ask
your
any
decision.
More questions. I just want to know, why did you have a catheter in? What went wrong?
I guess I kept peeing myself.
Yeah.
Okay, I should not have asked. All right.
Yeah. Thank you for the call.
Appreciate that. Is Bean?
Well, I just usually
they put the Bible too hard.
Usually they put a catheter in when you can't pee. That's why I was confused. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Top that story, huh? Catheter, Vegas, wedding day. Where'd you wake up? We want to hear from you. Coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Judging from the phone calls and the tweets and the emails and the Facebook posts on this topic, it's a miracle any of our listeners are even awake right now. These stories are crazy.
Yeah.
Laura writes in, Dear Kevin and Bean, I woke up in the bathroom at a Denny's at 4 o'clock in the morning with my pants down. Apparently, I fell right off the toilet, but hey, that's what birthdays are for.
Can I just interject here? I'm not sure that's what birthdays are for.
Oh, hey, Care writes on the Kevin and Bean Twitter account, at Kevin and Bean, after a day of heavy drinking, I went snowboarding in Park City, Utah. I passed out on the chairlift, had to ride it full circle, you know, because they drop you off to ski, and if you don't get off, you have to go all the way back around again. So you wake up and you're on a chairlift. That's not what you want. So we're taking your calls now at 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to Vincent. He's on line 5. Finding the crazy places that you fell asleep. George Lopez woke up on a casino floor in Canada, passed out drunk. How about you, Vincent?
I actually woke up in a stranger's lawn.
In a what lawn?
A stranger's lawn.
Someone help me. Are you saying a singer's lawn?
Stranger's lawn.
Stranger's lawn.
Strangers. That's the word you can't pronounce, John Travolta. Okay, go ahead.
Me and my friends used to frequent this bar all the time, and I guess one night I passed out at the bar, and they took my keys from me so I wouldn't drive home, and they put me in my car. Sometime throughout the night, I guess I crawled out through my window because my window was rolled down and I was a little scraped up. They took my cell phone and my wallet, too.
Wow.
So when I finally did wake up at like 3 in the morning, I was laying in someone's lawn. I had no sweater on. I was freezing, and I didn't recognize the area that I was in. So I wandered around a couple of blocks looking for street names that I recognized, and I had no clue where I was.
Wow.
I didn't know what city I was in.
And no cell phone. That's crazy.
No, I don't know why they took my cell phone and keys, and wallet. That makes no sense.
That's funny.
I finally found the bar that we were at and my car, and I tried to get in, and I reached in through the window. Nothing in there, no keys. I walked to a donut shop to borrow a phone, and the guy didn't want to let me use his phone.
Yeah.
So, wow, this story has too much going on, but we appreciate the call, Vincent. Thanks very much. Let's go to Brian. He's up next. He's on line 7.
All right. Hi, Brian.
Can you hear me?
Yes, kind of.
All right. So I started out in Arizona, and I woke up the next morning to fire marshals, several of them, surrounding me inside of a dumpster housing at an industrial park in Vista, California.
Wait, you were in Arizona. You woke up to fire marshals who were basically waking you up from what in California?
I was, like, in a dumpster housing in an industrial park in Vista, California. And as I sat up, I realized that my pants were around my ankles.
Sweet.
And I was laying on a stack of pornography.
Sweet. Oh, your story has everything.
That's amazing. How did you ever find out how you made it across state lines?
No. I didn't. It took me 2 days to get back.
The only problem that I have with that is your friend should have taken you to Mexico. That's the only thing I would say could have gone better. Thank you for the call.
But let's go to, we got so many good ones. Let's go to Richard. He not only woke up in a place he didn't expect, he woke up in a very, very tough way.
Hey, Richard.
Good morning, Kevin Bean. Hello, Lisa May.
Hello.
Good morning, Richard. What happened?
All right, start to finish. Lived in a house up on a hill, long driveway, pulled up in front of the house, didn't feel like walking up the driveway, so I started crawling up a slope.
Good.
To my house, which was all ice plant. Got about halfway up and didn't make it and fell asleep right in the middle of the hill right in front of my house, which is in front of everybody.
Right.
Woke up the next morning. With my mom spraying a garden hose down on me.
Oh, that's a brutal way to wake up.
Dude, it was ice cold.
Yeah.
I mean, it was like instant. And I get up and I fall straight back. Boom.
I didn't know
I was on a hill. So I ended up rolling down the hill to the bottom. And my mom's a little peed off because I was embarrassed. embarrassing her in front of all the neighbors.
Of course.
How old were you at this time, Richard?
This was last year.
I was probably about 17, maybe 18.
Oh, okay. All right. So you were certainly too young to wake up from that experience and go, I'm never drinking again. You were just getting started at that point.
Just getting primed.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that.
You may say it at that point, but you don't mean it.
Listen to this, by the way, from Jesse. He was in the Army. He was in formation at jump school. Okay. And this is when you're up in the plane and you're jumping out of a plane, right?
Right.
He fell asleep. Did not fall out of the plane, but he says you sleep where you can. He fell asleep in a plane getting ready to jump out.
Wow. Weird.
That's a guy who's relaxed. He's a little bit too relaxed to be defending my country. I'll tell you that.
If I'm in the plane, I'm pushing him out.
Yeah. let him wake up on the way down.
Wake up
right?
On the way down or at the end.
All right. Let's go to Mo real quick. He's on line four. He takes us into international territory here.
Hey, Mo.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good morning.
You passed out where?
I was stationed in Germany. I passed out underneath the Polizei car.
That's a police car?
That's a police car, yeah. Me and my buddies went out for, I think, my second weekend out there. I woke up in Stuttgart about 2 hours away from where I lived underneath the police car.
Underneath a police car? What if the car pulled away?
With 2 feet of snow underneath.
2 hours from where you live, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know where I was. I didn't know how to get back home.
Did you ever put the pieces together to figure out what that night was like?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I never figured it out.
You didn't even try?
I didn't even care to after that kind of night. I didn't want to know.
I'm starting to figure out why The Hangover was so popular with our audience, because they've lived it. All right, let's do one more. Let's go to Heather. I hope that Heather has been briefed on what she can and cannot say, because she did fall asleep in the craziest possible activity. Hi, Heather. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Hi there.
Yeah, we could step out. She'd be happy to just tell this story to Lisa.
Sure.
I would be. It was my birthday, and I obviously had a little too much to drink.
Right.
And let's just say I fell asleep on top of my girlfriend.
Okay.
Oh, no.
So my understanding from what I hear from the call screener is you guys weren't just in bed to sleep. There was other activity going on that perhaps you should have been paying attention to and somehow just nodded off.
Yeah, it's definitely something that you want to pay attention to. I think I can say that I used her as a pillow of sorts.
Interesting. Did she ever wake you up and go, are you finished?
No, actually, I woke up all by myself.
By yourself? That's rough.
I had to call her to piece together the situation, and let's just say I didn't ever hear from her again.
Is that right?
Well, it sounds like you would have owed her one. It sounds like you left the poor girl hanging.
Girls don't work like that.
Okay. All right. I learned a little something right. better. Call us every day. Thank you.
All right. What about Beer Mug? Do we have time to play his 30-second story?
Yeah.
Oh, while we're talking about people who woke up in crazy places, I forgot about the mugs.
The day after St. Patrick's Day, Beer Mug is supposed to be at work at 5:30, and it comes to 6. He's not here. 6:30, he's not here. 7, he's not here. 7:30, he's not here. I think it was the 8 o'clock hour that he finally woke up.
I go out last night, obviously.
Uh-huh.
Obviously. And surprisingly, I usually have a deep awareness, even when I'm drinking, of what I have to do the next day, what time it is, where I have to be. So I kind of, like, prepare for that.
By the way, that's just a bold-faced lie.
It sure is.
That just is not true on any level.
That's the functioning part of being an alcoholic.
Right.
Right.
The part that all of a sudden snuck up on me was, I'm laying in a bush in a neighborhood in Chatsworth.
Yeah.
So was Heather.
He goes out to drink, ends up waking up because the sun was burning his eyes, woke him up in a bush. Is that a choice, or do you just fall?
I don't know.
It just seems all
picture him crawling under the bush.
Right. But he was in a bush. He was in it.
But listen to Bugs.
No, boys.
He should have stayed there, huh? You are listening to the world-famous K-Rock, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
How excited are you, Ralph, knowing that Chris Harrison's going to be here in 20 minutes?
Oh, we're going to have such a good time.
And we mean who?
The world.
Oh, okay.
It's a very special Bachelor recap show for today.
Woman told all last night.
That's what I understand. Filling in for the P is Chris Harrison, the man himself, the host of The Bachelor, joining us next hour here on the Kevin Beach. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday.
Breaking news. I told you I'd have it all when it was official. And now we know the season 18 cast of Dancing with the Stars.
Yay!
Oh, and the stars have never shone as brightly as they have in season 18, my friends.
Did they start?
Come on, Courtney Stodden.
Did they start out strong and just get weaker each year? Or were they always sort of
They were always strong and continue to be strong,
oh, I'm
if that's
sorry.
What you mean.
My
yes.
bad.
Let's take a look at some of the celebrities, the high-profile celebrities who will be dancing with the stars.
I'm very excited.
You don't watch.
March 17th is when it all begins on ABC, so here's your heads up. First of all, very exciting that Charlie White and Meryl Davis will be participating.
Oh, Charlie and Meryl?
Yes.
And they are, and we would know them
they'll
from...
They'll be battling against each other for the first time.
Who,
Charlie and Meryl.
Who are these people of whom you speak?
Charlie and Meryl.
They're stars, Bean.
They are stars.
Of what?
Of Olympic ice dancing.
Oh, okay.
Doesn't that give them a little bit of an advantage?
Olympic gold medalist ice dancing partners Charlie White and Meryl Davis, who have been partners for 17 years, will now separate and battle against each other in Dancing with the Stars to the death.
But that's a pretty good casting, though, because the type of people who tune in to watch ice dancing are probably interested in Dancing with the Stars, right?
Ralph, if they actually did Dancing with the Stars to the death, I would watch. That would be awesome.
Also, Candace Cameron Bure.
Oh, my God. I've been waiting for her to be on this show.
She's going to join.
Who's that?
She was on Full House.
Okay.
Wonder Years' Danica McKellar.
Okay.
Winnie from the Wonder Years.
All right. We're in. We like her.
Amy Purdy. She'll be there.
Oh, Amy Purdy.
Amy, yes. Amy Purdy
she
will
was,
be dancing.
Is, hold on. Let's see if we can. She was. God.
Amy
who could
Purdy.
She be?
Amy Purdy.
Come on.
Is she an actress?
No.
Athlete?
Singer?
Yes.
She's an athlete.
Oh, of course she's an athlete.
Another Olympian?
She's a Paralympian.
What?
You heard me.
Paralympian. So the Paralympics? So she's paralyzed?
No.
She's probably missing a limb.
What's happening? She misses down a wheel?
No. Kevin, what's going on? Kevin, your first guess was right on.
I don't
She's
know.
Paralyzed.
Well, I'm just saying.
What's the story on that?
I would watch that, too, by the way, if you were on Dancing with the Stars.
No.
As well.
She's paralyzed.
She's paralyzed.
Yeah, we'll be Dancing with the Stars, Kevin. You're absolutely right.
What is her...
She is a U.S. Paralympic snowboarder.
Okay.
Uh-huh. At the age of 19, she was diagnosed with meningitis and had both legs amputated below her knee.
Oh, wow.
She will be the first contestant to compete with both prosthetic legs on the show. You may remember, of course, we had Paul McCartney's...
Heather Mills.
Heather Mills
That's
on
right.
there with
That's
one.
Right.
But Amy Purdy has two prosthetic legs. She'll be dancing.
Hey,
with.
If Oscar Pistorius gets acquitted, man, maybe he'll be on Dancing with the Stars next year. We can all look forward to that.
I'm still waiting for the paralyzed competitor to participate this year. Cody Simpson will be there.
Oh, he or she is excellent.
Cody Simpson.
Names don't get much bigger than this.
When are you going to start naming some stars on this show,
Cody
Ralph?
Simpson, my friends,
is
an Australian pop star.
Right.
Who shares
what
the
does
same
that mean
manager
to me?
As Justin Bieber.
What does that mean to me and America?
He is a star.
Okay.
Ralph has had to tell us who every single person on this show is so far.
Diana Nyad. You know that name.
Oh, my
She's
God.
The old broad who won't stop swimming
she's,
to Cuba, right?
She's the old swimmer.
Oh, is that right?
She'll be dancing. Wait.
This is unbelievable.
Here come the stars now. You ready?
Oh, okay.
Okay, now we're
the
ready.
Biggest for last.
NeNe Leakes.
From The Apprentice, the Donald Trump Apprentice show, right?
Yes, and The Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Real Housewives, okay.
Yes. James Maslow, of course, will be dancing.
James Maslow.
James Maslow.
Yes.
Singer. Yes, Kevin.
Thank you.
Oh, is he?
From?
How do I know? I was a lucky guess.
Big Time Rush. He's one of the members of Big Time Rush.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Sean Avery.
Sean Avery. I feel like I should know that
You
name.
Do know him. Former NHL player.
I was afraid you were going to say that.
Yeah. He's going to be participating. Drew Carey.
I think he works for the Kings now.
Drew Carey.
Now we're talking.
Drew Carey.
Now we're
a
talking.
A name we've heard.
And I've saved the best for last. Billy D. Williams.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
Yeah. All right.
Lando Calrissian.
All right, so I'm interested in two of the competitors
dancing
this year.
On Cloud City.
Fantastic.
These people.
And he's got a wooden hand, if I remember correctly.
Oh, come on. Are you talking about Luke Skywalker losing his hand?
Losing his hand?
No, Lando. No, what's his name? Billy Dee Williams? Oh, never mind.
Please explain.
No, we have time.
No, we don't have time. Go ahead.
No, what are you talking about?
I'll explain to you.
Why does Billy Dee Williams have a wooden hand?
He was in a movie with, if I could remember his name, I would tell you, but I can't. Who's the guy that used to have me but has now lost me? The comedian that's not funny and sings every once in a while.
Adam Sandler?
Yes. He was in an Adam Sandler movie. He had a wooden hand.
How am I the only one that remembers that? How do you guys not?
You're not thinking of Carl Weathers, are you?
Is it possible I have been mistaken?
Are you thinking of Carl Weathers?
I can't say no.
I don't know.
It's possible.
Is it Happy Gilmore? Yeah. Was it Carl Weathers and Happy Gilmore?
Happy Gilmore who had the wooden hand?
Yes. Carl Weathers. He's on the show?
This is Billy Dee Williams. Hey, Sam Rubin, you know they're not all the same person, right? you get that Lawrence Fishburne we're talking about, right?
I'm so happy I didn't say that to him.
Ralph, that's an un-effing believable Dancing with the Stars lineup.
I knew you'd love it.
Oh, my God.
I knew you'd love it.
And do they get great ratings no matter who they have?
Yes.
Why don't they just cancel? Well, I guess that's why they don't just cancel the show, because clearly no one wants to be on it.
But everyone wants to watch it.
Oh, my God.
Especially can't wait to see Carl Weathers out there. Carl Weathers is paralyzed, I've heard. He's going to be dancing, and even though he's paralyzed. Today's celebrity birthdays: Catherine O'Hara is 60 years old today. Michael T. Williamson is 57. Patricia Heaton turns 56 years old. Steven Weber turns 53. Evan Dando of the Lemonheads is 47. Actress Patsy Kensit is 46. Fergal Lawler, the drummer of the Cranberries, is 43. And Landon Donovan, he is 32 years old today. Now, that would be a lineup for Dancing with the Stars.
But sure.
No. We have Carl Weathers with his wooden hand.
That's right.
Is that going to help us? I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks so much for tuning in. Don't forget, we got tickets for all 3 days of one weekend of Coachella coming up for you at 9 o'clock this morning. And every day, you said between now and the festival, right, Kevin?
That's
we're going to be giving these away every day? Wow, pretty good deal. So 9 o'clock this morning, and then again at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. You can get the details at krock.com. I just heard a couple days ago about this app called the Bro app. I'm not sure I like it, but we want to find out more about it. This is set up for dudes who can basically schedule messages to be sent, texts to be sent to the girlfriend on a schedule where you don't have to do it. You can set it up in advance where they will send a message like, hey, just thinking about you. Hey, you're beautiful. Hey, I love you. Hey, I woke up this morning, couldn't get you out of my mind. Whatever it is, you can write your own message, or I believe they will select messages for you, or you can choose messages from their menu. And this way, you appear to be a more involved boyfriend than you really are or want to be.
But that can sort of backfire, don't you think? Like, if she finds out that's what you're doing, that's way worse than not texting.
Yes, I think so, too.
Well, as I understand from the Bro app, they do have some features built in that make it difficult to detect, like it doesn't show up on your phone, for instance. It just looks like a text that's coming from your phone to her phone. And you can be out, you know, drinking with the boys or something like that, and you can schedule it at 10 o'clock to send a text that says, hey, I'm just sitting at home watching TV. Thinking about you, you know?
And then she's like, I'm at home watching TV too. Where are you really?
So it's $1.99. It's available for purchase now. And we want to find out more about the Bro app and see if this is something that our listeners might be interested in. So we asked producer Dave to line somebody up from Factorial Products. They're the ones who make the app. And I believe we have Mr. Cliff Markert on the phone. Hi, Cliff. Welcome, sir.
Cliff Markert, dude. How's it going, bro?
It's going well.
Yeah, how's it going, bro?
It's going well.
Good, bro. Cliff Markert here.
Right.
Bro number one.
You are bro number one of the bro.
I'm Dave Broseph.
Right. So you're one of the guys behind the Bro app, I take it.
That's right, bro. Work it out. Now we can tell our girlfriends we're doing one thing, we're doing something else, bro.
Right. So I described it correctly in that you can write your own message and just set it up to deliver later, or you can choose from a menu of messages that the Bro app provides.
That's right, bro. We give you a message you can choose from, or you can make up your own. You can schedule how often or how little you wanted to send it.
Right.
It's the perfect app, bro!
What are some of the ones that you provide that we can choose from?
Love you, babe.
All right.
One.
Good.
You look hot, babe.
Right.
Nice ass, babe.
So they all end with babe, though.
Not all of them.
Okay.
You want one that does it?
Well, sure.
Nice boobs, broad.
That'll warm her heart.
Right.
And then we got the ones, too, you know, crap ones like, I love you, thinking of you. Blah, 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 blah.
Okay, but let me ask you this, Cliff. Why is it so difficult for guys to just, I don't know, text their own girlfriends? Why is there a need for the bro app?
I don't know about you, bro, but me and my bros, we're busy. We got things to do. We're shredding.
Right.
We're clubbing.
Right.
We're drinking.
Uh-huh.
We're fighting.
Right.
Bagging other chicks. And this way, you know, sometimes you get so busy, you lose track of time and say, oh, wow. She's probably wondering what's going on. So the bro app takes care of it for you. And this way she feels loved and cherished and adored and thought of, even though you don't love, cherish, or think of her.
Well, a lot of ladies are going to be happy to hear about this app, I guess.
So far, bro, they don't know you're using it, bro. So how are they going to be mad, bro? You tell me, bro.
Well, it sounds like you figured out all the angles, bro.
That's right, bro. So get this for your woman and keep her happy. And that way she'll be off your back, man. You can do whatever you want, bro. Live and large!
Chris Harrison, host of The Bachelor on ABC, joins us in studio. So are we now part of your journey, Chris? Is that how that works?
It is. This
Let's
is all
fun. Let's take a look back at our journey, shall we, over the past season? I'm telling you, bro, the last night's women tell all. It looked like a lynch mob. I thought they were going to get some rope and hang that Venezuelan soccer player up.
You know, what's funny is I agree. I thought it was going to go, especially the way it started. The women were very forthright and articulate with their comments. But once he came out there, he just has this way about them where, you know, even, you know, saw Charlene, even Andy, to a certain degree, started defending him a little bit.
Yeah, they gave him Andy, I was surprised because she was the one who went at him. For those of you who just slightly follow the show, she was the one after the big night in the fantasy suite, basically broke up with him, said, I'm not interested in doing this anymore because of his behavior last night.
And left the show, right?
And left the show after giving him a severe tongue lashing. And not in a good way.
Basically saying that this entire time you have not been paying attention and you really haven't been listening. And one of my favorite moments from last week was when she said, you haven't asked me, you know, even simple stuff like, what do you like on my pizza? What religion am I? How would I like to raise my kids? And he goes, well, do you know my religion? She goes, Catholic. And then there was that. There was like 4 seconds of, all right. Because
okay.
every guy's been in that situation. I felt for Juan Pablo because you thought, okay, I'm going to throw this right back in her face.
Right.
And then, you know, most women, they're smart. They just nail you. And you're like, all right. I suck.
But speaking of nailing, though, Chris, my sense is that all Juan Pablo is thinking about while he's on these private dates nailing each and every one of the girls is which one he's going to nail next. That's the only thing on his mind.
Are you watching this show, Bean?
This is a problem? Or is this different from every other guy in the world? Or
I don't know.
It's different for a guy who says he's looking for a wife and a stepmother for his beloved child.
One of the toughest things about Juan Pablo is, you know, throughout the season, he has, you know, moved the goalpost, not only in the middle of the game, but in the middle of the kick. And so I think the women have had trouble following what's okay. You know, when is his daughter Camila going to be, you know, brought into this? When is she not? Who's going to be offended and why? Because, you know, he'll make out with one or say, no, I'm not going to make out with you, then literally walk 5 feet from you and make out with the next girl.
Right.
So I think that was confusing. And the girls kind of articulated that. And they also, you know, during the tell-all last night, I found it interesting in retrospect, having watched it back, they found, wow, he had the same conversations with everybody. And
yes.
So I think that's been, it was really interesting last night compared to most seasons where there's a lot of bickering and infighting. It was really more of trying to sort things out last night.
Now, is your read that Juan Pablo is just dumb, or does he seem that way sometimes just because of his limited English skills?
I do think a lot has been lost in translation, and I do feel for
Same
him.
Same with me.
Exactly.
English is Kevin's second language.
It's like listening
as well
to Kevin and Bean in the morning. You think, this should really be in English. but no, I really do. You know, I have spent so much time with him, and he does have a hard time articulating. And he'll say things, obviously thinking and feeling one way. And then the way it comes out is completely another.
Right.
And I've had long talks with him, and I tried to help him along the way. We, you know, we cut out a lot of our deliberations because they at times seem contentious. And I tried to explain to him, and you saw this when we were in St. Lucia last week.
We sure did.
When you say it's okay, or when you say I like her, you know, to us, you know, in America, that means like. Like,
yeah.
I like you, and that means you're my good buddy. At this point, it needs to be further than that. And I knew that our fans would see that and be enraged. Like, really? You've gone this far. You've been in the fantasy suite. You've spent the night. If you say, I like them, it comes off as shallow.
Yeah, it's dismissive almost.
Yeah, let's try to go deeper. And he kind of took offense to that at times. And I was really honestly trying to help him articulate, knowing exactly how our audience would take it.
And last night, you guys had to stop him from repeatedly saying his little package when talking about his daughter.
Right.
It's not for
women to come into my life because it's me and my little package.
And
me
by the
and
way,
my little package.
Wow.
Said, well, stop saying that. They think you're talking about your penis.
And that's exactly what the producer said.
Yes.
You should really stop. And that really is a good – it was a funny example, but a good example of, you know, how things get lost in translation. He thought it was cute and endearing, and we thought women are just going to think you have a small penis.
Can I just butt in here and ask a question? And I don't watch the show. But I'd like to ask a question.
You always feel like you have to say that. We know you're straight. It's okay.
No, it's not that. It's just, I don't know. But here's my question. Because everything that you guys have set up to this point is how they find him disingenuous and whatever, and he's not honest and they're not. Are we really still all going with the, hey, this is an actual search for love and a soulmate?
Did you not just see the wedding?
No.
You didn't see Sean and Catherine
get married? The last duo just got married.
Talk to me in 2 years when they're divorced. This is absurd. Wow. Who
hurt you?
Nobody goes on.
Show me on the doll where they touched you.
Ever since Flava Flav, I've thought, these shows are not about that.
That was the Bachelor. Being on The Bachelor.
Oh, same thing. Dang. Only it was interesting.
Since you had Carl Weathers as the Bachelor.
But my point is, most of them, I mean, there's a certain amount of showbiz to it. They're on TV.
You're right.
It's a competition.
You know what?
It's not really looking for a soulmate.
I'm going to save Kevin for
Thank
once
you.
In his life. That's a good point that Juan Pablo had a tough time with this. You go back to Sean and Catherine, who Sean really embraced this. He came into it with the action adventure. I'll be on TV. Love that. But if this works, which it did with Catherine, I'm all for this. Juan Pablo had a tough time from day one fitting into this mold and really letting it go. I don't know if it was cultural, lost in translation, whatever you say. He had a tough time really opening up and letting this out. I don't know if he was kind of trying to serve two masters with I'm a dad and the cultural change and then trying to deal with these hot women, but he really didn't ever fit into this mold that well. It's made for great TV, but it's been a rough ride for him because of that.
I get the sense that he was a little overwhelmed having to deal with 27 different personalities at the same time.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think everybody does. That's part of the beauty of the show. You would think, oh my God, 25 women, I'm going to go in there and it's going to be awesome. And it's kind of every guy's dream. And then you walk in and you realize it's every guy's nightmare.
Yeah.
It is extremely difficult. And so you have to be a pretty extraordinary person to handle it all personality-wise. Juan Pablo realized, I think he's more of a one-on-one type of guy.
And you know what continues to shock me, Chris? And maybe you can understand this because you've been there.
The show's still on the air?
No. Oh. That's completely understandable.
They haven't upgraded their host?
Yeah.
Right?
That is also understandable to me. But the phenomenon that repeats and repeats and repeats every season that blows me away is these women, they sign up to be on The Bachelor, they get into The Bachelor, and then they start complaining about the fact that the guy that they want to date is dating other women around them. They seem shocked and surprised by that when they know the damn show and they've watched themselves year after year. They know how it works. How can they possibly be surprised?
Well, I think what they're surprised by, and there's a lot of things when I hear, you know, once they're on the show, like you've seen this. You've seen it now for 12 years. They're, you know, I think the lights are on at this bar. You know, you should kind of know what's going on.
It's closing down.
Exactly. But in that respect, I think it does surprise people. When you get in the situation, I don't think you're prepared for the fact that, I guess in simple terms, the fact that it works so well. You know, I think everyone comes in guarded, like, look, I'll always have control of this situation. I'll always, you know, kind of rule this situation. But when you start falling for this guy, and I think the process works, and I think they find themselves, damn, I've fallen for this guy. I've fallen for this whole thing. Why, you know, now I'm jealous, I'm mad, I'm that girl that I've been watching for 12 years and I promised I wouldn't be.
Right.
But it does work. And that's, you know, back to Kevin's point, that I think is really the biggest trick of all is that it's simple and it works. And you do get these relationships.
I mean, the Bachelor can make you fall in love with somebody just by the circumstances they put you in, the crazy dates and the romance. The whole thing is engineered to work on your brain. I mean, it's almost like you're giving these girls anesthesia and they're defenseless to it.
I'd watch that.
Kevin would like them to be roofied when they go on the show. That's at all possible.
I think you guys are talking about a completely different kind of date.
What
otherwise known as rape.
Let me ask you one more thing before we have to take a break. Chris Harrison is here, by the way. Every Tuesday morning on the Kevin DeBeach Show, all season long, we have recapped the previous night's Bachelor. This is a very special edition. Petros Papadakis not with us today because in his stead is the man himself, the host of The Bachelor, Chris Harrison.
Because I would punch him in the face.
And rightfully
so. There's some animosity there. Well, I don't understand.
One of the problems is I actually listened to this show.
Oh, no.
And what did, and, you know, when I was writing the Fantasy Suite cards and my beautiful penmanship with my bubbled letters,
yes.
What I think his quote was, his dumb ass doesn't write those with his dainty ass hands.
That's what Petro said about you. Yeah.
And by the way,
you know, I defended you.
He's so right.
You told us you really do write those.
I actually don't put hearts over my eyes like that, and I did not write those this season. So, but I don't think he had to be so mean about it. He got so personal.
So he was correct, but angry.
He didn't need to hurt my feelings.
Okay. Okay.
You're a human being.
All right. Plenty more to talk about last night, the ladies tell all, and also we'll talk about the big finale, which is coming up next week, and we're going to insist on some sort of comment from Chris about Andy being the Bachelorette. All of that coming up straight ahead here on the Kevin DeBeach Show on K-Rock. Chris Harrison in studio with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show, who has been the host of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette for a combined 27 seasons, ladies and gentlemen. Wow. All what? In the last 12 years,
12
Chris?
Years this
wow.
has been.
Wow. You are so sick of love.
I am. Yeah, exactly.
You're the most calloused man on the planet at this point.
I'm Dr. Phil with good hair and not as much of a jerk.
Yeah. Well.
Plus you're as much of a doctor as he is.
Exactly. Yeah. I should have an honorary doctorate at this point.
I know you you were very active on social media and you're very accessible to your fans. What are you hearing from the ladies that you've been running into this season about Juan Pablo? Do they think he's a catch or are they so glad that they don't have to date him?
It's really 50-50. There are those that, you know, find him extremely gorgeous, handsome, sexy, which he is. He's a good-looking guy. And so you have that crowd. And then you also have a lot of defenders, kind of like Charlene last night on the Women Tell All, a lot of women defending him. And then you have those that just can't stand him.
Yeah.
And again, that's I think the beauty of the show is everybody's dated a guy like that. Everyone's been one of those women, you know, kind of like Andy last night who said she fake slept in, you know, the Fantasy Suite. Because she just wanted to get out of there. And, like, who hasn't been on one of those dates?
Fake slept meaning she just wanted the night to be over?
Yeah, just wanted it to be over.
And no, so she just closed her eyes and was quiet pretending to sleep just for no just waiting for dawn, just waiting for the sun to come up.
Awesome. And she could get out. Right. That could be forever.
Lisa May's like, yep, that's called Friday and Saturday night.
And that's Charlene, too, it was interesting. She said the physical attraction was so intense that she kept trying to talk herself into the rest of it just in order to keep the relationship going because every time physically they were together, it was electric. But he's had one of those relationships,
too, where you're with somebody and you're like, you just can't stop making out. And then you get away and you know, again, intellectually, you're like, this is a disaster. This is going nowhere. Get out. And then you go to literally break up with them and end up making out again.
Yeah.
So, again, that's the genius of the show is you can empathize and sympathize with about every situation and every person on the show or despise them or love them or whatever.
Is there an angle that the women are at times fighting with each other or in the other way the guys are fighting with each other?
Absolutely. And a lot of times that's
just to win?
Well, a lot of times that's what the Women Tell All is. And that's why last night was really different. And it was different to host because it is a lot of infighting and, you know, I hated you this whole time. And it usually turns just into a mess with the women. And then the Bachelor comes out and he's still kind of the hero.
Right.
This season, it was really all about Juan Pablo and how he treated them and about this whole process. And really, none of the women were mad at each other. It was a really different dynamic this season.
They were sort of a unified front against him last night.
Kind of. But then there were the defenders as well. There was Charlene and Renee and Andy and some of the other girls.
What were the defenders saying?
The only two women who hate each other are the final two who we will be choosing from next week.
They hate each
other.
Or not.
Yeah,
they hate each
other.
Really?
There was really Team Nikki and Team Claire as it broke down.
And Nikki and Claire are the last two together, yeah. And we won't know what – I don't – see, next week, I don't know what to expect. I know you
I don't either.
I know you can't say anything,
I really
Chris.
Don't
you
either.
Do,
you
do.
No. You liar.
Look, no, I know how we finished taping the show. Obviously, that happened a while ago. But we're going to do this live three-hour event.
Yes.
Where we are
3 hours. Woo! That is great.
Kevin bristles when we say it's 2 hours.
Look, it's shorter
Who's
than
– got 3 hours?
That's 2 hours shorter
that's
than the Oscars.
That's the Academy Awards.
It's shorter and a hell of a lot more interesting than the Oscars.
That's crazy.
I mean,
if anybody get John pizza at any point?
How anybody can get through the Oscars? No, I want to hear about foreign dictator of short films.
One.
That was great.
Get John Travolta to read all the names on the Bachelor finale next week.
Yeah. What an unbelievable human being he's turned out to be.
Yeah.
That was,
yes.
incredible to just see somebody stroke out in the middle of speaking.
No, these guys see that all the time with me, unfortunately. Yeah.
Do you ever see that? Have you ever seen on YouTube or whatever the news reporters that will – there's like a couple of them that have kind of stroked out.
Oh, the heavy vertation?
Yeah. The vertation girl.
That's literally what happened with Hazel Kazim. It was like a deed that was amazing.
It was awesome.
It was great.
Hey, Chris, you see so much more. I mean, look, the thing about The Bachelor is even though it's 2 hours a week, there's still a lot of stuff left on the cutting room floor. Who was the craziest chick? And maybe you can base that on something we didn't see that you had as a contestant this year.
This year I think the most emotional one, I don't think she's crazy, but I think the most emotional was Claire.
Yeah.
And she's part of the final two, so I didn't get a chance to talk to her at Women Tell All, and I hope to talk to her next Monday night at the live after the final rose show, because she really was the most emotional, and she was really at the top of the list and had this crazy physical connection with Juan Pablo as well. And that's part of what turned the women off, you know, towards her.
Claire likes her some drama. That's all I know.
Yeah,
Every time you see her on the show, it looks like she's acting on a scene from Dynasty.
Oh, no.
Everything is very big eyes.
Well, and even her hometown.
Throwing her hair back and forth, and it's all very dramatic.
You know, she was the one who, you know, she calls her mom Mama, and she had the big drama even at her house with, you know.
With her giant fat sister.
With her sister, Lara.
The massive, massive sister.
Ruff says a lot of things that Chris won't.
There's this ugly she-devil of a sister who hates Claire because she's hot and thin. You know that's where that dynamic is coming from.
There's somebody on Twitter, and it's not me, called Cocky Chris, or Cocky Chris Harrison. I think it might be Ralph. He really does say often what I would love to say,
but
and I want to retweet. I can't even retweet what he says often,
right.
But I'm like, I don't know who this is, but God bless you.
So you have to kind of play the judge a little bit, be as impartial and as fair to everyone as possible, right, Chris?
Well, yes and no. I mean, I think after 12 years and 28 seasons, I've garnered enough respect from our fans and even the people on the show that I can call you out. And I don't mind, whether it's Juan Pablo or the women. I'm not really here to defend you. I'm not really an impartial referee. I'm there to kind of drive this train and to kind of really point out what you on the couch is wanting to yell.
Right.
And I hope that's what I did at Women Tell All, and that's what I'll do at AFR. I mean, I will call Juan Pablo out or push him in certain directions if I feel like that's garnered. But I'm not going to just back the truck over you for no reason.
Right. Gotcha.
Yeah. You need to get a couple drinks in Chris for that to happen.
That's when the real truth comes out
after a few cocktails.
The Bachelor has made the news this week as there are some citizens in Fulton County, Georgia, who find they take exception to the fact that Andy has requested 2 or 3 months off to go be the Bachelorette. They think maybe there are more important things doing, shepherding cases through the courtroom system there in Atlanta.
Well, all we know is she's requested some time off from her job, Bean. We don't know why she's asked for time off.
Chris, why has she asked for time off?
Well, she's an assistant district attorney.
Right.
Uh-huh. I'm guessing they don't want her to take any time off because if you're getting arrested, I mean, if you're in front of her, it's not, your day's not going well.
Right.
So at least you have this really hot woman,
right?
You know, probably throwing you in jail. Yeah. I object. I want to sleep with the district attorney.
So she's going to be the Bachelorette? Is that what you're saying?
She's definitely a candidate for sure. Obviously she's a candidate. But I will be honest in that there's a lot of candidates coming off this show. You know, we really vet them out and we really let the season play out. We want to wait and see what happens next week. Because everyone's excited about Andy right now, but 2 weeks ago they were excited about Renee. 3 weeks ago they were excited about Charlene. And
interesting.
You never know how Nikki or Claire could pan out as this show comes to an end. And so for us, obviously Andy's atop our list, but let's wait and see how this plays out, see how the fans, you know, receive everybody.
Chris, a little free advice, Chris. Next season, Cassandra is the Bachelorette, and it's all black NBA players who are all the Bachelors. That's
what I like it.
Be a massive ratings juggernaut.
I like it.
Yes.
Are you a married guy, Chris?
I am not anymore. Thanks for bringing that horrible, painful time in my life up.
No, I'm just asking because it would be rough dating you because you've seen it all. You've seen everybody at their worst. You can tell what game they're playing.
Right. I am single. I am dating. And actually, it's the pressure's on me because if you know, I take you out, you know, people just assume there's going to be a private jet to Bora Bora.
Sure, of course.
And I'm like, well, I was thinking Olive Garden, but that's fine.
Why don't you take a hot air balloon to the Olive Garden?
Right. Right? No, totally, yeah. Don't be ridiculous.
Sure. Yeah. It is a journey of love, after all.
When does the 4-hour event start?
The five-hour? Pre-game starts this
pre-game.
Friday.
Yeah, yes. This Friday.
7 a.m., the pre-game
Ralph,
starts.
Ralph, are we still tailgating like we do?
Absolutely, yeah.
That'll lead into, it's a 3-hour live event Monday night on ABC. I will be the only thing on ABC next Monday night. No pressure.
Wow. Right.
And it will lead into this live after the final rose. And I am excited because I don't know what's going to happen.
Wait a minute. What do you mean it'll lead into?
Well, here's the thing. It's going to be kind of a live event where we're there with our fans, and we'll be in studio at times, okay. interviewing people, talking. Then we'll throw to parts of the finale that are taped. Okay. Then we'll come back in studio, so kind of interstitials at time. And then it'll lead right into a full live studio event where everybody, all the major players, will be there.
And that's where they announce who the winner is. Or
exactly, winner or losers, or who dodged a bullet,
and
or whoever.
And who will be the next, probably. You'll talk about
and
that,
yeah,
right?
I think we will announce who our bachelorette will be.
And if you want to see Chris Harrison, the actor... tonight.
Stunning.
On Trophy Wife on ABC.
Yes.
Chris will be stopping by a guest star on that episode.
I had a horrible job of spending the entire day pretending I wanted to, or pretending I was Malin Ackerman's ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, that's
awesome.
Rough. That's a rough deal.
She's
right
great.
There.
People get paid in this town.
Right.
To hug and pretend they have slept with Malin Ackerman.
Yeah.
This
and,
is
and as a method actor.
Well, I told her,
yeah,
I said,
needed some sense memory.
Yeah,
sure.
I said, Malin, I don't want to do this, but we should probably go to my trailer and make sweet, sweet love all day.
For the sake of the
art. For
arts.
The show. Yes.
Right. Yes. Right. Realistic, exactly.
And she threw up. She literally threw up on me. And I said, is that a good sign? Yeah. So, no, it was a great day with Bradley Whitford and Malin. So, watch Trophy Wife tonight. Because I am amazingly horrible.
All right.
Good. That's ABC tonight. And then Monday night, find out how this season of The Bachelor ends with Chris Harrison, our friend stopping by the Kevin and Bean Show here on K-Rock.
Thanks Chris.
Guys.
Good
appreciate
it. Always a pleasure.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:56.
Do not ask that guy how his house is doing. Do not bring it up. You will never get out of that conversation.
Hey, look who's in the next room, you guys.
Machete.
Danny Trejo is here. We'll talk to him coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. First, though, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Tuesday.
It's Machete.
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 Oh, get it right, would you please?
Machete.
No, I'm pretty sure that's not it. That's not the way you say it.
This is Machete.
That's what I'm talking about. Machete.
Really, that's him saying
it. They called him Machete.
Huh? He says.
This is Machete.
I'm saying Machete.
I can't wait for the show tomorrow as well. One of my all-time comedy heroes will be in the studio, and I'm a little beside myself. I don't get nervous very often, but I'm already nervous for tomorrow's show.
Okay.
Billy Connolly's going to be on the show.
All right.
Boy, man. One of my all-time heroes.
He's Scottish, right?
Scottish comedian. Has been around since the golden age of the British invasion of comedy back in the 70s when Monty Python came over, and you had Dudley Moore and Peter Cook and all those legends. He was right in the thick of it, and it's just one of the funniest stand-ups you'll ever see. Can't wait to meet him. Speaking of stand-up comedy, our buddy Jim Jeffries is doing a show. Jim Jeffries is coming to Club Nokia on March the 29th. I wanted to give you a heads up because you know we love Jim here. And if you watch Legit over there on FXX, you know how funny he is. If you've ever seen him live, you'll want to see him again. If you haven't seen him live, you owe it to yourself. One of the best stand-ups working today. Tickets are now available at www.axs.com. That's where you can get your tickets for Jim Jeffries' show coming to Club Nokia on March the 29th. Just wanted to give you a heads up and tell you, go see him. You'll enjoy.
Probably one of the top three funniest comedians I've ever seen in my life.
He's very, very funny.
Great.
I was talking about the Dancing with the Stars lineup that was announced this morning.
I have no comment.
We don't have time really to get through all of it, but there are a few celebrities like Drew Carey. Some is a name you might know. And there's Amy Purdy, maybe a name you don't know.
She's paralyzed, I hear.
James Maslow, Charlie White, Meryl Davis, names that may not just be top of mind. And I did mention a young gentleman named Cody Simpson.
Right.
Cody Simpson is 17 years old.
Okay.
And he is apparently a pop star. And we were laughing because we have no idea who he is. Well, I have been schooled.
Uh-oh.
Thanks to Leah for writing in.
Oh, should we have known Cody Simpson's name?
Let me read you a quick little email.
All right.
Dear Kevin, Ralph, and Bean, I woke up to the great news that Cody Simpson is going to be on Dancing with the Stars. Then you ruined it by saying, who is Cody Simpson? Are you kidding me? Who is Cody Simpson? I have met Cody Simpson 9 times and seen him in concert 5 times. He is the greatest pop star in the whole wide world.
All right.
He is a great example. He is a great athlete.
Okay.
And I have every Build-A-Bear he has ever come out with.
Wait, hold on. He's an example of what? And what kind of athlete is he?
He's a great athlete.
And why is he building bears?
I have all his CDs.
and his book and by all the magazines he's on. He has perfect hair, a perfect smile, a perfect body, the perfect voice, and he's the best dancer. He's gorgeous.
All right.
How dare you?
All right.
You have angered all the Simpsonizers and the angels.
Who are the angels?
I'm guessing they're people in heaven with halos and wings. Please. I love the showbiz news, and you are the funniest, but this is just wrong. Please read your facts before the 8 o'clock report. Listen to Wish You Were Here. Maybe even play it on the air so everyone will become a Simpsonizer.
Did you listen to it, Ralph?
I did not have a chance to
listen
to it.
Well, you're not doing your research then.
Nor am I a Simpsonizer.
Now, when she says read your facts, you mean facts like he has perfect hair and a perfect smile and a perfect body? Is that the kind of facts she's talking about?
He's a great athlete.
He's a great athlete.
Yes. And he's a great example.
Yes, he is a great example.
Of
Australian 17-year-old hood.
Here's the thing. If you love him, whether we know him or not,
we ruined it, Kevin.
How is that relevant?
We ruined the news.
Who cares? Who cares what we think or don't think?
By not having his Build-A-Bears.
Oh, I have his Build-A-Bears.
Well,
I just
sure, who doesn't?
That. Come on now.
Well, it sounds like Cody can count on at least one vote when he debuts on Dancing with the Stars, doesn't it?
Leah will be there, I think.
Wow.
A lot of anger there.
That's some passion.
Woo.
Today's celebrity birthdays: Catherine O'Hara is 60 years old today. Michael T. Williamson is 57. Patricia Heaton.
Yeah, my wife on television. I don't talk that way.
56 years old today. Steven Weber is 53. Evan Dando of the Lemonheads is 47. Actress and singer Patsy Kensit is 46. And Landon Donovan, Kevin. Landon Kicks!
Season starts this Saturday.
What'd you get him? What'd you get him for his birthday?
Get him anything.
Do you have all his Build-A-Bears?
No.
Is he a great example? You?
Is he a but great you're not really a fan.
Does he have perfect hair and perfect teeth?
Well, that he does, yeah.
Landon Donovan turns 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I used to be terrified when Danny Trejo walked in the room. I thought, that's it. We're dead. He's looking at us with those eyes. But now we know he's just a pussycat and one of the hardest working actors in Hollywood today. Ladies and gentlemen, Machete himself, Danny Trejo.
What's up?
Joins us in studio. Look, we got a lot of ground to cover here in the 20 minutes that you've got with us, Danny. No one is in more movies and TV shows than you are, right?
Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
No, but I'm serious. Kevin, I have a list in front of me of things that Danny is in this year, things that he's making this year.
That haven't been out yet, you mean?
Yes.
Okay.
No joke. You have like 20 appearances on TV shows and movies in the can already, don't you, Danny?
Yeah, we got 20 appearances today.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Obviously, you've got the Muppets movie, which we all know about, that's coming out later this
Tina
month.
Tina Fey and Ray Liotta.
That's
funny.
Wait, who's funny?
Tina Fey.
Tina Fey is funny.
Oh, God. Besides being fine.
Yeah.
What's it like to work with Muppets, by the way? Are you able to suspend disbelief and forget that it's like a guy with a puppet? I mean, do they really seem real to you when you're on set?
You know, the minute you it's like, you know, the minute you get next to them, you start, like, pretty soon you realize it's a puppet.
Really? So you have to fight.
You're talking. You know, it's like, and the people that, you know, that work them are amazing. I mean, it's like they just suck you in. It's like, you know.
Yeah, they seem real.
Yeah, you forget.
Now, do they do the voices live on the set when you're in a scene with them, or do they add those later?
No, wait a minute. No, they're always... They're always in. If the puppet's there, it's a puppet,
right? And they're doing the voices, though.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
The voice is the same thing at the same time. Yeah. So you have something to act against, at least.
I mean, it is. It's hard to say, but it's hard to be. You know, it's like I'll tell you, my mom passed away while I was doing the Muppets.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I love my mom. Don't tell anybody. I'm straight mama's boy.
Yeah, right?
You know, after I got the word, I'm ready to fly back. My secretary, Mary, called me and said, "Now, you know what? We've taken care of everything. Don't, you know, it's like, just do what you got to do. Don't worry about this." So my assistants, Mario, Max, they took care of everything. Mm-hmm. Right? And I finished them. Everybody was coming up to me and Dan, you know, we're really, and all of a sudden I just shut it down. No, it's fine. She's in a better place. I was so macho. It was unbelievable. I was surprising myself, right? I think my mom...
The most macho guy in the world.
I think my mom got pissed off. I said, screw you. You're not going to... She sent the frog, okay? Kermit came up with the guy and says, Danny, I'm really sorry to hear about your mom.
Wait, as Kermit?
Kermit. Yeah, what? The guy, I just lost it. And, yeah, I mean, and it was like me and the frog hugging. I know, Mama.
Oh, wow.
I couldn't. And so it was like, and then I thought, okay, I got it. It was my mom. Said, no way you're not going to be macho around me.
Oh, that's
sucker.
So funny.
Did you find yourself going, what am I, how's my acting against, with a puppet? I mean, that's.
Wait, when you see the Muppet, we do a scene from Chorus Line. Okay, now if you can imagine me and Ray Liotta.
You already got me there. I can't. I'm trying to put that together.
I need this job.
That's great.
Look, I know that you've been working in show business for a long time, Danny, but it still sounds like you're a guy who pinches himself every day that this is what you do for a living.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like, it was funny. I just finished doing
it's hard to keep track of them, isn't it?
Badass 3, Badass on the Bayou with Danny Glover and John Amos. We're in New Orleans. It's freezing cold and raining, and me and Danny Glover are standing there, and it's like, wow, it's cold. And then we both looked across the street, and there was like a construction crew, and they were working in the rain, right, in the cold, yeah. And we had to say, yeah, but...
but we're not doing that.
And, those guys, they work hard, so...
Of course.
I love what I do, and I do what I love, so...
I got to tell you, it's strange. We interview a lot of people, but it is strange to run into people who are as grateful as you seem to be, and thankful as you seem to be, and happy with,
I think an attitude of gratitude is necessary every day. And that's not just, that's just not a word. That's the way I just try to live. I mean, because I don't care who you are. I don't care what's going on in your life. Man, go down to Children's Hospital and then see how you feel.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're always going to find somebody, in tougher shape.
Right.
And so
no matter what's happening.
Yeah. So, and then it's like what I'm doing right now is like with St. George, with George Lopez. And it's like, it's some funny stuff. I mean, how are you going to be depressed with George Lopez? We're like just laughing all day long, And so that's like.
Have you seen him since the weekend when he woke up on the casino floor?
Yeah, I talked to him.
What's he saying about that now, Danny?
You know what? He was saying that tequila won.
Oh, there was some place, there was a story that said he did 51 shots.
Well,
I've done shots before. Yeah, that seems like you'd be dead.
They started drinking. They started drinking at 10 o'clock. Sometimes 10 o'clock in the morning. And being Mexican, it's like when it's time for a siesta. Yeah, okay, yeah.
Where am I right now? On the floor. Good enough.
But it's amazing to me that he was able to do his show that night.
Yeah.
And then fall asleep afterwards. I mean, that's what's incredible, to be that drunk and still be able to do comedy. On stage is a miracle.
You know what? It's like the guy, first of all, is a comedic genius. I love making him laugh just because I know he's a joke. I told him a joke, and it's like he's just still laughing. I told him, God, gas is getting so expensive. It's cheaper to go down to Home Depot and hire 4 Mexicans to push your car. And he's like, just like, no, we
can't
use
that. Did he ask you if he could steal it?
We can't use that.
Danny, I have bad news for you. We all pretend to laugh at your jokes because you're Danny Trejo.
Yeah.
Okay, just so you know.
I know.
We don't want you to look at us with that look. All right, Danny mentioned the show is called St. George.
St.
We're going to talk some more about it in a moment when we come back. It does premiere, though, this Thursday night at 9 o'clock on the FX channel, St.
Right
George.
Yeah, watch
and,
it.
And we'll tell you more about that and what else is going on with Danny when we return right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show on the World. Actor Danny Trejo in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He is Machete himself. He was in From Dusk Till Dawn and Once Upon a Time in Mexico and Marked for Death and Anaconda. And the list just goes on and on and on. You're on TV now. Yeah. Do you do a fair amount of TV. You mostly do movies. But have you ever been on a series before as a regular, Danny?
No, this is the first time. And it's really funny. I play Theo. Now I'm Tio.
Tio.
I went from Machete to Tio, and I'm, which is, means uncle, and I'm actually George Lopez's uncle in this.
Are you trying to keep him in line, teach him life? What's the story?
Well, you know what? I'm that uncle everybody has that thinks he knows everything but just screws everything up. You know what I mean? We all got one. You know, comes over with his tools, and so I come over in one episode to help him with an electrical problem, and I use a spatula and a butter knife.
So the last thing people want is to see you coming to help.
Yeah, okay. With a tool belt. You know?
But what I thought was interesting, and again, it debuts on FX this Thursday night at 9 o'clock. What I thought was interesting is you've been in a lot of comedies, but the comedy comes from you playing a super tough guy and being intimidating and in a humorous way. This time, you're actually playing it for laughs. I mean, you're joking around and doing actual comedy lines.
I'm not really like a tough guy in this one. I'm just
not at all.
Uncle. Yeah, so
that's quite an actor. Is it difficult to do that?
Well, to be so loose?
Comedy is actually harder because your timing's got to be right. You know, being a badass, you can say something five different ways and it comes out as a badass.
It's great every time, right?
Yeah, comedy, yeah. You got to say, you know, stick to the writer or it doesn't, you miss the joke.
Right. Is it difficult because do you look around and go, I didn't do that right, did I? I mean, how many times have they had
you don't have to look around. George will tell you. What was that?
Why do they have this deal on FX? And they did the same thing for the Charlie Sheen show, Anger Management, where they say, all right, we're going to put 10 on the air. And if they do well, we're not going to sign you up for another 10. We're going to sign you up for 90. Why do they do it that way?
Who cares, right?
That's one of the reasons I'm an actor, not a producer. You know, I have no idea. I think it's actually better all the way around. You're not caught in something you don't want to be in, and the producers aren't tied to you for, you know, 100 episodes or whatever.
So do you love this job? Is this super fun for you, Danny, with all the stuff you've done?
I love it. I love working with George.
So you'd be happy to do another 90 episodes.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you know what? People don't realize it, but me and George go all the way back till he was on radio.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he had a talk show a long time ago. And
I
did his show. And even before that, he is from San Fernando, which is I live in Pacoima. You know, I grew up in Pacoima. So he had heard about me before I was even an actor, you know, kind of like, you know, when I was an armed robber.
And, through the Mexican grapevine.
Wait, he heard of you when you were an armed robber?
Well, you know, I was, it's a small neighborhood. You know?
So when he needed a car,
he knows who to call.
And so he, you know, and I've heard about him, you know, being this really, you know, funny comedian guy, you know, but basically, you know, we know everybody we each grew up with. He knows some of the guys that he grew up with were my best friends. Some of the guys that he knew growing up, you know, were
small world. Do you keep in touch with a lot of your friends from, you know, from San Quentin and Folsom and all the other fine places the state of California gave you bed and breakfast?
Most of them are gone, you know. But
really?
But I've got a couple. I got like Charlie Fastenella who's still kicking around, you know, and some you know, some friends that are still around. You know,
do you have a desire to still hang with those people, or are they?
Well, they're, you know, they're clean and sober. You know, I mean, they're, so it's like, yeah, that's fine. That's the only way you're still around. You don't see no, you know, no successfully old, you know, dope fiends or successfully old robbers. You know.
Are you able to bring some of those people into Hollywood a little bit?
Absolutely. You know, Max, Mario, we've all done film together, and these are all guys that, you know, that I hang around
I would think if you're on the set and we needed some tough guys, I would just go, Danny, get some of your friends.
get some friends, right.
Well, about 15 years ago, we had a program called Rent-A-Gang, you know, and so...
Rent-A-Gang. Yeah,
so when the producer needed, you know, their thugs, it's like, we would, you know, they'd show up with eight guys, they're like, oh my God.
It must have been so tough for you and your crew when the Raiders moved out of town.
We love the Raiders.
Danny Trejo is here on the Kevin and Bean Show, the nicest guy in show business. When he's not in front of the camera, by the way, which isn't very often, he's working with autistic kids, he's working with adopting pets. I mean, the guy, you really do give back, Danny. That's one thing we have to say about you, man. You are...
I think that's one of the things you have
to do. A role model.
I think that's one of the things you have to do.
A lot of people don't, though.
Well, you know what? People, 99% of the people that say, I don't want to be a role model, is because they're doing something wrong. You know what I mean? And I don't want to do anything wrong. You know, it's like I want to be a better person today than I was yesterday. And that means, you know, helping God's children, kids, dogs, you know, that's it. It's just
anybody that needs help.
There's two kinds of, there's two kinds of people in the world. There's those that want to make a difference and those that are taking up space, you know, and I just want to, you know, just ask our good Lord, just let me, you know, let me make a difference. You know, that's all.
Bean, I feel like we're just taking up space.
We are.
I'm going to get what
you guys do a lot of good. You know what? Hey, I got to tell you this. My son right now is actually Gilbert Trejo. He's actually producing and directing his own little movie.
Wow.
Awesome.
And they raised their money. He raised his money on Kickstart.
Awesome.
So he's doing it on his own. So
can I'm he really afford to get dad in his movie?
You know what? It's like
you're pretty expensive.
I asked him, "Will you do pay my raise to dad?" You're coming in on the dad on the program.
Yep.
All right, listen. Danny's got to walk out the door. He's got to be on TV. But let me play a clip from the show. I want everybody to hear what this is about. This is St. George FX Channel this Thursday night at 9 o'clock. Now you're on it, and your son on the show is David Zayas, who we've had on this show, who of course was the detective from Dexter. Uh-huh. And George, you're there.
George's wife is Mackenzie. Well,
that's right.
Oh my God, she's going to kill me.
What?
I can't remember.
No one's going to kill you, Danny.
I know, but I can't remember. I love her because she was excited about getting a library card. I couldn't believe it. She came in. Guess what I got, Danny? I said, what? She said, I got a library card from Santa Clarita. That's a suburb of Magic Mountain. Oh, yeah. She was like, oh, sorry.
She's from North
Carolina somewhere.
Dave, say her name on the speaker so we can hear you.
Ken Lyon, right?
Ken Lyon.
Yeah, right. Jen Lyons. I'm sorry.
That's okay, the actor. All right. So let me play the clip, and then you got to go, Danny. This is you guys. George Lopez is divorced now a little over a year, and he's trying to get back into the dating pool. This is the episode you'll see on Thursday night. So you take him out to try to, you know, get him to hook up with some women at a club, and it doesn't go so well as you might hope.
Not interested
in spending the evening with three fascinating individuals?
You guys are, like, old enough to be our dads.
If they bother you too much, use this pepper spray.
That pepper spray, that won't stop me. I love hot food.
For my daddy, that's more of a condiment than a deterrent.
What are you talking about? This stuff burns.
Pepper spray doesn't work on you?
My daddy doesn't succumb to pain.
How can it affect everyone else but you?
Fortunately, I was born without tear ducts.
Well, next thing you know is Danny Trejo is on the ground being pepper sprayed in the face, so which I never thought I'd say.
Call me an ambulance.
Well, you're very, very funny on the show. Again, it's called St. George. It premieres this Thursday night at 9 o'clock on the FX channel. So great to catch up with you, Danny. Congratulations on the Muppets. Yes, go ahead.
Let me say hello to Samuel and Theodore. What's up, guys? Hurry up. Go to school.
There you go.
All right.
Get to school. Why are you wasting time? Danny, thanks for coming, and you're always welcome.
Thank you.
You bet. That band, American Authors, will be in the Red Bull Sound Space tomorrow at 3 p.m. You can watch it at krock.com.
Very cool.
Well, that sounds fun and free, by the way. Got some bad news for you guys.
What's that? Oh, what? Who died?
Dear Kevin and Bean, the email begins. I regret to inform you that I am moving to Texas, and I will not be able to prank call you guys on the air anymore. I am the Santa Monica guy.
Oh, no.
Oh!
I have just 2 weeks left, he said at the time of this email a week ago, by the way, so now just 1 week left, to try to get through. I want to thank you and that dumbass Kevin for giving me my 50 minutes of fame and for finding my prank calls funny Popo Zao. Kevin, explain for people who may not recognize This Is Santa Monica. Who's the guy we're talking about here?
This is a guy who, here's what happened. We started with this TV show named Let's Paint. It's on YouTube. You can still look it up. There's a guy, he's in a suit, he's running on a treadmill, he's painting, and he's making blended drinks. And he would take calls on this television show that's on cable access, so there's no language problems. And he would get prank called every single day by gang members that would shout, "This is Santa Monica!" And then they would hang up on him. And then they would curse, and then they would tell him to F this and do that. And somebody else would call in from a rival gang. And we were talking about it, and we said,
really love it when people prank us. We're not kidding. We're not just saying that. It makes us laugh. Mm-hmm. And so this guy got the idea, and he would start calling the show, and he would say, this is Santa Monica, and we would all have a great time and laugh and then move on. And he's been doing this for years.
For years now. Let me give you one example of how it would be. We'd be doing a phone topic where we'd have listeners calling in on a topic, and he would get through the phone screener, make up some story that he was going to tell us on the air, and then this would happen.
Let's go to Mike in Lenox. This sounds very funny. Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. But the morning show!
Yeah!
Been a while.
Well played, my friend. Well played.
So that happened to us dozens of times.
He gets through the screeners with a false story, like you're saying. We would always be very excited to get to him because it was such a great sounding story. And then he would just shout out, this is Santa Monica. And it would make... And it would make our day. Now, your name is Sam?
Yeah.
Did we ever know that?
I used my name a couple of times, and one time I think Dave ended up knowing who I was.
Oh, he did. Okay.
So take us back, Sam, to the early the germ of the idea. So are you the person who used to actually call into Les Paint TV, or were you imitating that guy?
No, I was just imitating him.
Yeah, that guy was a real, it sounded like a real gangster.
Yeah, that was a real troll. I just look like one. I'm not really one, though.
So you just thought it was funny that he was doing that, and you saw how much we enjoyed it, so you decided to start doing it to us.
Yeah.
And how many times, first of all, how long have you been doing it? How long have you been Santa Monica prank calling us?
It's been 7 years now.
Seven years!
See, we applaud that kind of
thing. Absolutely.
That's time well spent, sir.
And how many times do you think you made it to the air to do it?
I think I've got on only about 20 times, and I've left it on the Afro line a few times.
Oh, you do good work.
Yeah.
Now, what is it in you, though, that you continued to find it funny after you'd done it the 8th time, the 12th time, the 17th time? What made you pick up the phone and go to all the effort to get through on the air again?
Because I'm such a dumbass, I find anything funny, bro.
And listen, so did we. You could probably tell we found it funny as well.
Right. So yeah. This is very sad. I'm so glad that you reached out and sent us this email, A, so that we could say thank you for all the hard work, but B, just sad to see you leaving the area. You know, we don't have enough listeners that we can afford to just, get rid of them willy-nilly. Why are you leaving?
Because California's too damn expensive, man. That's why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're moving to Texas where you can get away from the state income tax. At least that's a start, and then just try to build a new life out there, huh?
Yeah.
You're gonna prank call people and shout Santa Monica, and they're not gonna have any idea what you're talking about.
Nah, I'm not. But like I was saying, Dave, earlier, I got this app where I can hear you guys live. So,
oh, there you go.
It's
yes,
a minute. It's like about a minute delay. So by the time I get through, it's gonna be kind of hard.
Well, I expect you to keep trying.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to hear from you while you're driving around Austin or wherever you are. Now, Sam, 7 years you've invested in listening to and contributing to the Kevin and Bean Show as the Santa Monica guy. We want to thank you for that, first of all. And, Kevin, I understand you have a parting gift for our friend.
I do. I have a goodbye song
for
our friend Sam.
Kevin, what's the best goddamn internet television show there is?
Let's paint. Let's paint. He cooks, he exercises, and he makes blended drinks while painting. So he takes calls. So now he's walking on the treadmill, she's behind him cooking, the band's behind him waiting, and this guy takes a call. Hello!
And this is Santa Monica, MSK.
It's Saturday. All right, man. Hello, caller!
Santa Monica! All right.
We're
not gonna make it. This is Santa Monica!
All right, man. Hello, caller. This is a K-Rock listener who calls and asks him about being on our show among them.
Oh, hey, Brad, why are you selling out now?
Selling out? Why are you selling out now?
Just won't let it die.
Goodbye.
Thanks, Sam.
I'm crying.
Right now at Togo's, for only $5, you can get a big, fresh, meaty Togo's daily special sandwich and a drink. It's a $5 deal, Togo style, only at participating restaurants for a limited time. Big, fresh, meaty, Togo's. I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's a world-famous K-Rock at 852.
Did she just say big, fresh, and meaty?
Yeah.
Is that what she said?
Yeah.
That's what I thought. Okay.
That is what
just
she
like,
said.
Just like Cody Simpson. Big, fresh, and meaty.
Hey, Coachella tickets for you. 3-day passes coming up at 9 o'clock this morning. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday. What's going on?
Real quickly, I want to give you a little programming note. Do not forget tonight, episode 2 of Game of Arms.
What I'm talking about. Somebody else is going to have to bring in clips of that.
Come on.
Really?
You didn't enjoy that?
I did.
Yeah.
It sounded terrible. It sounded terrible.
You're wrong. You're wrong. You're just wrong. I love Game of Arms.
Well, we'll enjoy your recap.
I'm all about Cobra and Chop. I think those are my two
favorites. You do? You think those are the ones that are going to take it?
Those are my favorites. Cobra and Chop. I think it's really well done reality television.
TLC?
No, AMC.
AMC.
AMC at 10 o'clock tonight. Just saying. Cobra and Chop. Game of Arms. Yeah, it's not for Bean, though, I don't think.
No. He's not an arm wrestling enthusiast.
No. He strikes me as a guy who would be intrigued by the super testosterone-laden world of arm wrestling.
It's just meathead versus meathead.
Can I do it from my couch? On the computer? No, the answer is no, so probably not for Bean. But 10 p.m. on AMC tonight. Check it out. It's fun. Also, I've got tickets to give away to our very special K-Rock screening of Bad Words.
Yay!
No, it's not the documentary about Kevin's career in radio. Bad Words.
How dare you.
Is a hilarious new comedy starring our buddy Jason Bateman. Catherine Hahn also stars, Allison Janney, many more. If you'd like to see this film, and I think you do, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number to call. First five callers who get through will see Bad Words at our special March 12th K-Rock advanced screening at the Arclight Hollywood, and then Bad Words is in theaters everywhere on March the 15th, in case you don't get to the screening.
Is this the movie you saw last night, Kevin?
Yep.
How is it?
You know what's it's great. You know what's funny about it? Jason Bateman is just fantastic in everything.
He's great.
He's always fun to watch. But it's all about a spelling bee, a 40-year-old that goes back to a spelling bee.
He finds the loophole that allows him to compete again.
And the easy words that they used in the movie, I had no idea.
Well.
And zero idea. But come on, Ralph, the easy word.
But Carl Weathers has a wooden hand in it, so it all worked out.
I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
I'm sure you don't. This is a great story. I love the FCC complaints from people.
Yeah.
I love the loons. Good. It teaches a lot about America when you read the people who are taking time out of their day to write into the FCC to complain about certain things.
And look, we've done this job a long time. It's fascinating to see what really pushes people's buttons.
And their interpretations of events that the rest of us see very differently.
Right.
For example, the most recent Grammy Awards. The Smoking Gun website obtained the FCC complaints that they got from 40 different people, 40 different indecency complaints about the airing of the 56th Annual Grammy Awards.
Complaints, so these people, then, rather than just change the channel, they sit down and type out a strongly worded letter to the government about what shouldn't be on TV.
Right. Many of these letters regarded Beyonce's performance of Drunk in Love.
Too hot?
Yes, Kevin, basically. Here are some of the complaint letters I think you'll be interested in hearing.
All right.
One viewer claimed she dressed like a prostitute about her outfit. A lot of complaints about the outfit. Some were upset that the show was aired during the family-friendly 8 o'clock hour, and her performance was in the beginning of the show. Grinding against her husband, a la stripper porn, is hardly an acceptable way to demonstrate marital love in front of children. And at 8 p.m., at 8 p.m., children are watching. Marital love. It's not the way you express it, marital love. Something some Ron Burgundy would say. It's not the way you demonstrate marital love.
You know what? It also sort of sounds like these people are afraid for other people. Like, they don't even have kids,
it's always
probably.
It's the children.
I know, but the person writing most of the time doesn't have a kid.
Look, sexuality makes a lot of people very tense, and they need to write about it because they can't do it.
Beyonce
another person
needs to do
said,
that more.
I want to ask Beyonce if it's okay if I stick my butt in her child's face like she did mine.
Oh, man.
Sounds like it was a home performance. Maybe it was after the show. Someone came by and she stuck her butt in her kid's face.
Well, that's weird.
And I think it's fine with Beyonce if he wants to do that on TV, too. It's not going to bother Beyonce.
That was the same Grammys, by the way, that they had the giant marriage ceremony.
Oh, right.
Which had same-sex and opposite-sex couples.
Oh, right, That's right. Yeah.
A lot of people. Pure disgust is what I felt watching that, forcing the gay agenda on the rest of us.
Of course.
Said one person complaining to the FCC. What do you think the FCC is going to do about it? Okay, no more showing gay people in love. That's our new FCC rule.
I don't know.
But my single favorite one by far is the person who was complaining about Katy Perry's performance of her single Dark Horse, in which she was dressed as a witch and the flames were coming up all around her.
Oh, sure.
This is great.
Yeah.
I was shocked. Shocked by the overt summoning of Satan by Katy Perry.
Did it work? Did Satan appear?
I was shocked that Katy Perry is such a poor Satan summoner because he never really showed up.
That's true.
Oh, no, wait a minute. I do remember seeing him now in a cowboy hat with a cane, and he wobbled out on stage during the same-sex marriage.
Ralph, I'm sorry. That was Madonna.
That was just Madonna. You might want to check your facts because I'm pretty sure it was Satan.
I think it was... Looked like Madonna.
I don't know. I'm looking forward to my reality show.
Your reality show. Are you on one?
Well, not yet, but I'm guessing it's just a matter of time.
Okay.
Because they're working their way down the list, and this week they got to Gerardo?
The Rico Suave guy?
Rico Suave.
Wait, he has a show?
Remember Gerardo?
Barely.
He's got a new reality show on VH1. A 10-episode reality series called Suave Says.
10 episodes?
Ten
this
episodes.
Isn't just a, where are they now,
no,
50-minute feature on
it's
Gerardo.
A series.
Suave
10 episodes.
Says. Is he going to be given advice?
His first season of Suave Says. It'll be about Gerardo and his crazy musical family, along with his six-pack abs, which he still has. Tune in this year on VH1.
That's how they sell it?
That's how they sell it. Suave Says. This guy had one hit song, 15 years ago?
No,
20
years ago than that. I want to say 1991, maybe? Rico Suave, I think?
Wow.
Why are they giving him a show now?
Because he's never been hotter.
I could say VH1 some time and just let him know that that's a bad idea.
Would you say about Gerardo, would you say, just let it go?
I would.
Would you say that about him?
I would, actually.
I think you should. And remember that debate between Bill Nye, the science guy, and Ken Ham, the founder of the Creation Museum in Kentucky?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I remember that happened, yes.
They had a big debate online about creationism versus evolution, and it was a big deal on the internet for a hot minute there. Well, he has announced, Ken Ham has, founder of the Creation Museum, that he has finally raised enough cash to start construction of his exact replica of Noah's Ark.
All right.
Via his Ark Encounter project, he will be erecting the Noah's Ark in the hills of Kentucky near the museum. Ham says the funding came from a municipal bond, and he's finally raised enough cash to build Noah's Ark. What do you think he's spending to recreate Noah's Ark?
Oh, wow. I mean, it's full scale.
Full scale. Well,
is he,
first of all, Noah's Ark never existed, so we don't know exactly what scale it was. But he claims this is a one-for-one replica of the Noah's Ark.
That has to be like $5
million. Yeah, $73
million. Oh, my God.
You're right, Kevin. $73
million. Raised that much already?
Yeah, well, part of it came from a municipal bond.
That's taxpayer money.
It will also go towards recreating Noah's Ark in the hills of Kentucky. I'm so glad that all the problems of Kentucky have been solved so they can focus on building an ark.
Weird.
$73 million.
Is this because...
Seriously, what the f***?
Is this because...
Nobody toothless? Their people in Kentucky are pooping in a hole in the ground? Do you have any idea?
I don't.
You know how many toilets you could buy with $73 million?
A lot,
How much plumbing?
Yeah.
How many teeth? $73 million.
They think it's going to be a draw that people will come there and visit or something?
Well, they better have two of every goddamn animal or else I'm going to be really disappointed if I show up just a big empty ark. Hey! Where's two of everything? Be the world's worst zoo.
And if there are two of everything, I don't want to get on there.
Right. Today's celebrity birthdays, Catherine O'Hara, legend from SCTV all the way up to Christopher Guest's movies and the Home Alone films. What a talent. 60 years old today. Actor Michael T. Williamson is 57. Patricia Heaton was the mom and wife on Everybody Loves Raymond, 56 years old. Steven Weber from Wings
and other projects. Like, remember that Studio 60?
Yeah.
I liked that show.
I did too.
On that. 53 years old, Evan Dando of the Lemonheads is 47. Patsy Kensit, actress and singer, is 46. And Landon Donovan, soccer player Landon Donovan. Kevin's sending him some an edible bouquet or something today.
It's not the case.
Some Snookies cookies. What do you send Landy cakes on his birthday,
Kevin? I appreciate
his
skill.
I know, but what do you
excited
send
about the Galaxy game edible starting
undies?
Saturday?
Edible undies? What exactly?
I really don't send him anything.
Send him your soccer balls?
Maybe.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
And edible undies, yes. Every day between now and Coachella, we're giving away 3-day passes at 9 o'clock and 5 o'clock. 9 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Brandon Tyra from Gardenia just picked up 3-day passes. Congratulations.
Sweet.
Have a great time.
Yeah.
5 o'clock this afternoon, you have a chance to win yours. Get the details at KROQ.com. Let's talk a little bit about childhood dreams coming true. Let's talk about a little man named Chris and his friend Eric, who have been doing something since they were kids but weren't able to finish it. Now they've got a Kickstarter video, and they're coming to us, the public, asking for us to fund the rest of their dreams. Let's listen to this and see if it's worthwhile.
Some folks have called us the Raiders guys.
That's because back when we were kids, with the support of friends and family, we did a shot-for-shot remake of Raiders of the Lost Ark.
From ages 12 to 19, Eric and I spent all summer, every summer for 7 years on our shared obsession to recreate the perfect adventure film. No Kickstarter back then, so every birthday and Christmas, we'd coordinate what props and costumes to ask for whatever we couldn't make, beg, or borrow.
And in 1989, we finished every scene. Except for one.
Except for one, and that's where we're at in 2014, is trying to finish the damn movie, and then maybe Chris and Eric will move on and discover ladies, because wouldn't that even be better than making a Raiders of the Lost Ark shot-for-shot fan film? Hi, Chris. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Thanks so much for having me on. This sure. is very, very cool.
Well, it's our pleasure. When word came up about your Kickstarter campaign, Ralph Garman, who's the resident geek on the show, said, oh, yeah, these guys are legendary in the geek community. Apparently, the word has been spread far and wide about what you've been doing. Take us back to the beginning. When did the project start for you and Eric?
So at ages 10 and 11, Eric and I were growing up on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. I got the idea that I wanted us to play Indiana Jones and remake Raiders, and then we spent the next 7 years with a Betamax camera and an army of our friends in the Gulf Coast doing a shot-for-shot recreation of Raiders.
Let me stop you right there.
Okay.
I don't have the stick-to-itiveness. I can't follow through on a great idea for longer than maybe a week. How do you stick to it for those 7 years?
Well, that's a good question. I attribute that to the friendship, really. I mean, I think Eric, Jason, and I were really, really strong friends. And, you know, we just kind of kept each other accountable. And you get so far into a project where you can't really give up, and you start to come up with some great stuff. So we kept forging ahead, and luckily we finished it.
So you kept making enough progress that it was a payoff enough to keep going.
Correct, correct. I mean, we come up with some cool stuff, dragging underneath the truck, lighting each other on fire, blowing stuff up. You know, I mean, that's just cool stuff. And we get it right, and it would be really exciting, and we'd keep going.
Now, one of the things that I'm fascinated with, and I haven't seen much of the movie, but the clips that I've seen in your Kickstarter video and elsewhere, I mean, this isn't just you with cardboard swords in your mom's basement. I mean, you are making this thing look as much like the real movie as it's humanly possible for an amateur to do on a limited budget, right?
That's correct. Eric and I are pretty hardcore when we work on something together. We try to do it right, and I think that was the intention from the beginning when we were kids, is to try to make it look as much like the original as possible, and we did the best we could.
Now, how old are you now? How long has this been going on?
Too long. You know, this is 25 years in the making. I'm now 42.
Wow.
I started the project when I was 10.
Wow!
Yeah, I know.
That's unbelievable!
Yes, but I assure you, I still have my teen-like features. It's
Let's talk about the one scene, the little clip that we played from your Kickstarter video.
Yeah.
And you can just search for Raiders guys if you want to see and hear more about this and hopefully make a contribution. But you say we filmed the whole movie except for one scene, and that's why you're looking for help now. What's that scene all about, Chris?
That's correct. But the only scene that we didn't get a chance to do was the famous flying wing scene. And that's, of course, where Indy beats up the big, bald German Nazi, and he gets blended up in the propeller. And
it was
logistically a little difficult as kids. But now, since Jeremy Kuhn, who's the producer of Napoleon Dynamite, optioned our book that was published by St. Martin's Press about a year ago, we're turning it into a doc. And I thought it would be a great idea as part of the documentary to go back and reunite, you know, bring the band back together 25 years later and do the flying wing scene. And so that's what we're doing. At a great Kickstarter campaign. We're about $11,000 short of our initial goal of $50,000.
All right. Here's my question for you. Your goal was $50,000.
Yep.
To shoot the scene, it's going to be $125,000.
Yes, correct.
That seems like you shot a little low with Kickstarter.
Well, I think that's based on statistics. I think that's based on the dynamics of how to work a Kickstarter campaign. And we figured we'd at least be able to build the foundation of financing and then hopefully reach our stretch goal if we have enough time. $125,000 sure would be awesome. We'd love that. And, you know, we've got some great rewards, mainly our movie, which nobody's ever been able to see really or get. We've offered that as a reward. So that's kind of a critical incentive for us, kind of placing it out there to try to get the funds to pull this thing over the finish line.
I see. How much would I have to donate on your Kickstarter page in order to assure myself a copy of the movie once it's done?
I think digital copy starts at, you know, like the free digital download starts at $25.
Okay, wow. Okay, very affordable. So what's so expensive about this scene? If I remember correctly, isn't this the one where everything blows up at the end? Is that why it's costing so much?
Correct. Well, the airplane is our primary cost, and we've got a lot of stuff for free. We've got some amazing people on board. We have Todd's costumes, you know, on board as our sort of costumer. We're shooting all this in Mississippi, so we have to get an airfield, an old dirt pit that we're trying to transform into a German airfield. We have to build the airplane. That's our primary cost.
Gotcha.
Great, yeah, that's our big cost.
Now we have,
and of course.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. No, go ahead. Go ahead.
We have a caller on the line, Bill, who wants to know how you got the rights to John Williams' music, because that's such famous music.
Well, actually, as the scene is going to be featured in as part of the documentary, that's all going to be licensed.
Oh, in the documentary.
Yeah, correct.
But you don't have that as part of your movie.
No, because we were children and we just didn't go through the licensing process when we were, you know, 10 and 11 years old.
So it's just you as kids going, da, 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 da.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Chris, I know that your movie is legion in fan circles. Lots of people do fan projects of things that they're in love with, you know, movies and TV shows and whatnot. Yours is one of the most famous. You even got to meet Steven Spielberg at some point. Tell me about that.
This is correct. Meeting Spielberg was absolutely everything that we could have hoped for. I mean, you know, you're always a little nervous when you meet your childhood heroes. And
yeah, because that could be disappointing so easily.
It can be. It can be. It really can. But we had the good fortune of meeting the man himself, and he was kind enough to have us into his office for about an hour.
That's cool.
And he chatted with us really said, you know, boys, I just wanted to meet you and let you know that I watched your movie and that it inspired even me. And
How about that?
You know, so the most important thing with Spielberg is that we've kind of received his blessing, and he's been extremely supportive of us, and it's been great.
All right, before we let you go, Chris, and again, go to Kickstarter.com and search for Raiders Guys if you want to see the video that's up there and a lot more information and all the incentives that you can get for various levels of donation if you want to help these guys achieve their dream and get the movie finally finished. What is it about this movie that made 10-year-old Chris fall in love with to a point where he would spend basically the rest of his life trying to make this project?
It is a mythologically perfect action-adventure movie. He's a perfect hero. It's beautifully scripted, and it's lightning in a bottle as far as I'm concerned. And even though I've already done it, I would still go back and remake this movie.
No kidding. It is one of the all-time greats. No question about that.
And you're Indiana Jones in the film, right?
Correct.
Yeah, see, that's a pretty good deal to get to be Indy, right?
I would say.
All right. Well, Chris, I'm happy that we can spread the word. You got $11,000 left to get the initial goal of $50,000, and that's up and running until when? What's your deadline? March 13th, is that right?
We have 9 days left, so the clock is ticking, and so we're kicking up into a high level of urgency here, and I feel that we can do it. We're on a great track.
All right, happy to spread the word, Chris. Thanks for the time on
Thank
the Kevin
you
and Bean
guys
Show.
So much.
You bet. Thank you.
106.
Screw them. Glad their country's in darkness half the year.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
Well, goddamn effort. That's all I'm asking.
The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:41.
Are we hating Iceland right now? What's happening, Ralph?
Well,
What's your problem with that song? I like that song.
His sonny was an okay guy. He had a pet dragonfly.
No, he didn't. Nobody has a pet dragonfly. Think of another rhyme. Do it again. Enough. Strike Blight comes back and tells him all a story. Put down the acid. Write a song.
Maybe I haven't listened to all the words.
Yeah, maybe you haven't. Like a monkey.
Hey, Ralph is here. It is Tuesday morning on the Kevin Amin Show, and time for another look at the showbiz beat. What the hell's going on?
I'm all fired up.
Yes,
you
are.
I'm fired up. Told you last hour that Ken Ham, the founder of the Creation Museum,
yes,
which isn't enough, if that isn't enough to get you riled up, has announced today that he is spending $73 million to rebuild Noah's Ark.
Okay.
Some of that money came from a municipal bond. That means that's tax money from the state of Kentucky.
Now, how did he? How was he able to tap into that money?
Because in the Bible.
Oh, because the Bible.
Yes, reason. Because the Bible.
Gotcha. That explains everything.
Some people in Kentucky are miffed.
Well, I would imagine they're going to make it into a park to go to or something, no?
Or it's going to be a giant boat.
I know, but
sitting in the
it's hard to imagine
Kentucky.
That that's the end goal.
But the government just the government doesn't really make a lot of tourist attractions. I mean, do they?
Well, I would think that if
they should make this one.
If they think people will come there, then maybe they would kick in. I don't know.
I want to thank Lister Bryan to send me this list. Someone from Kentucky has compiled about five other things they could do with the $73 million in Kentucky.
Okay.
Feed children. 1 in 4 children in Kentucky don't know where their next meal will be coming from.
Oh, that's sad. Perhaps, but they could go see an ark.
Perhaps donate to cancer research. Kentucky has the highest cancer death rate in the country.
Wow.
Invest in broken schools. State spends less per child than it did before the 2008 recession.
Can they afford field trips to the ark, though?
Save abused animals. For the 7th consecutive year, Kentucky was ranked as the worst state for animal protection laws.
All right, but this is the ark.
That's true.
To protect the animals.
They will have two of each of them probably in there at some point.
Right.
And perhaps combat their crippling heroin problem.
No.
Statewide, heroin overdose deaths increased by 550% over the past year.
I'm sorry?
550% in heroin deaths, that's all.
Wow.
But at least they're taking $73 million and they're going to build a big boat.
They're going to stop that. There's no way this happens.
It's going to sit in the hills of Kentucky. It won't even be in the water, this boat, by the way.
Well, of course not.
It's going to sit in the hills where a boat belongs. Noah's Ark.
How do they know?
How do the people of Kentucky not rise up with pitchforks and torches?
But
and
I think
just
they will.
Burn some mother to the ground.
I don't think this is going to be built. I think that this is the kind of publicity that will kill this project. But my question to you, Rob, is how do they know enough about Noah's Ark to be able to build a recreation of it?
Because
like this guy is saying, it's an exact recreation.
Yes, it's an exact replica of Noah's Ark. A boat that more than likely never existed.
I'm no Bible scholar, but even in the Bible, they don't give the specs, do
I think
they?
They do. There's a,
right.
there's a blueprint. No, there's a blueprint. Page 8, there's a blueprint.
I didn't realize
it's
that.
It's a fold-out. You get, a lot of people just read the text, but you fold
it's
it out.
It's a fold-out.
Yeah, it's a big schematic.
I see.
The whole thing, the plumbing, electrical, all of it.
So at best, he's guessing.
Right. Well, okay. For $73 million, it's a lot of trial and error. That doesn't look right. Let's tear it down.
But I mean, I when you think about it, I mean, there's a lot of things in the Bible that we don't know what they look like, and we just make images of Jesus to be, you know, for one, as an example.
I know what he looks like. I saw Son of God over the weekend.
Mm.
He looks like a bitchin' surfer. That's what he looks
okay.
like. Surfer dude.
Hey, this is great timing for your little ark guy, though, you know, on the backs of the publicity for this Noah movie.
Noah, yeah.
You know?
They made the movie for less than $73 million.
Possible.
Of course, they had CGI going for him. But who's going to say no? Who's going to say to him, hey, that's not what the Noah's Ark looks like?
Yes, it is. Somebody's going to look at it from afar and go, you know what? Giraffes. And he's going to go, you're right.
Yeah.
We got to rebuild it.
We got to cut some giraffe holes. How are their necks going to stick out? Just saying. Come on, people, now. Also, I want to apologize to Leah again. I did the announcement of the cast of the 18th season of Dancing with the Stars.
Right.
This is the Simpsonizer who was so upset with you?
The Simpsonizer's upset with me. Here's a real quick recap. These people will be dancing. Either they'll be dancing with the stars or they are the stars. I'm confused because I don't know any of these people. So I'm
maybe
not
they
sure.
watched the show.
Charlie White and Meryl Davis, of course, will be dancing.
Sure.
Of course.
Candace Cameron. Danica McKellar.
Now her we know.
Yes.
We know. We know Winnie from the Wonder Years.
Years.
I don't even know what that is.
Amy Purdy. U.S. Paralympic snowboarder.
Okay.
Billy D. Williams. We know him. Lando Calrissian.
Dare you.
And let's not forget, he had the wooden hand.
Or that was Carl Weathers that Kevin was thinking of from Happy Gilmore. Movie.
Who's the comedian who
you guys should stop
who
making
sings
stuff
sometimes?
That I used to like but don't.
Diana Nyad? She will not. Well, I guess she will. She'll stop swimming long enough to dance, and then she's going to start swimming again. NeNe Leakes, James Maslow, Sean Avery, Drew Carey, and, of course, Cody Simpson, who we all mocked, saying, who the heck is Cody Simpson? Well,
wow.
I stand corrected. If I could just read this email really quickly from Leah. Dear Kevin, Ralph, and Bean, I woke up to the great news that Cody Simpson's going to be on Dancing with the Stars. Then you ruined it by saying, who is Cody Simpson? Are you kidding me? Who is Cody Simpson? 3 question marks. I have met Cody 9 times. And in concert, I've seen him 5 times. He is, like, the greatest pop star in the whole wide world. He's a great example. He's a great athlete.
What? What's that based on, by the way? Is he a Paralympian?
I don't believe so. I have every Build-A-Bear he has ever come out with.
Why is he coming out with Build-A-Bears?
I'm not sure. Maybe he works at the Build-A-Bear. Could be. I think he works at the one at the Grove.
And you said he's a singer, right?
I have all his CDs and book and buy all the magazines he's on. He has perfect hair, a perfect smile, a perfect body, the perfect voice, and he's the best dancer. He's gorgeous. How dare you? You have angered all the Simpsonizers and the Angels.
Who are the Angels?
I'm guessing the ones who look over the Simpsonizers.
We have to talk to Leah. We have to get Leah on tomorrow's show.
Please, I love the showbiz news, but this is just wrong. Please read your facts.
But we need to set it up before middle school starts for her.
Please
listen to Wish You Were Here, or maybe even play it on the air so everyone will become a Simpsonizer.
We'll do that. When Leah comes on tomorrow, we'll play a little bit of Wish You Were Here and see what we're missing.
Well, I wanted to see what we were missing, so I had a beer mug dig up a couple Cody Simpson clips.
Oh, fantastic.
Okay.
You didn't have to wait.
When we hear his music, we're going to say, oh, of course, how do we not remember these smash hits?
We missed
from
it.
Cody Simpson.
All right.
When he was building his bear,
sure.
He was releasing these songs.
With his perfect hair, his perfect body, and his perfect voice?
He's a great athlete.
He is a great athlete.
And he's a great athlete. And a great example.
The first clip is All Day, a song called All Day from Cody Simpson.
All right.
This young girl, she's so cute. Every time I see her, wear a fresh pair of shoes. Cause this young girl, she's such a killer. Can't wait till I have it, I'ma spend half a milla.
Oh, come on. Yep. That happened. I apologize to the Icelanders now. After she's such a killer, like, I spend half a milla.
Doesn't that sound like every song on AMP radio?
Yes.
Though? I mean, it doesn't sound any better
or worse.
This is
when he grew as an artist and he released Pretty Brown Eyes.
Sure. Wow. Oh, this is another
the
song?
The next song is called Pretty Brown Eyes.
I didn't know we were
going
to play more than one.
Oh, yeah.
Girl, she came out of corner, looking like a model. Magazine figure, she was shaped like a bottle. Long straight hair, she was fly as a bird. First time ever, I was lost for words. Felt so right, it just couldn't be wrong. Love at first sight, if that exists at all. I couldn't move, felt like I was stuck. And then baby girl looked up. And I said, hey, pretty brown eyes.
Yeah, there you go. Here's your Cody Simpson.
Now, can they promise he won't sing on Dancing with the Stars?
Oh, I bet you he's going to sing. How do you have Cody Simpson on and not have him sing?
You heard that song?
Because the Simpsonizers will be furious.
That's the guy that Leah was so upset that we didn't know who he was. Why would we know who that guy is?
Because he's a great athlete.
I just love that he's a great example.
Great example.
Of we don't know what, but of
bear building.
Does have 9 Build-A-Bears, and she has the full collection.
Every once in a while, we come across something that we go, how is this a thing that we've never heard of that some people are so into? I mean, this is like a Beanie Baby thing.
This is the new Bieber. This is who this is.
This is the new Bieber,
exactly.
Is there
anything distinguishable from his music to Bieber or any of the other boy bands?
Or Austin Mahone or
any of those.
They're all the same.
No. Douchebags. Leah, seriously, we're doing you a favor. Snap out of it, girl.
You're going to grow up one day, and you're going to regret all of what you said about Cody Simpson today.
Burn your bears. Let go of the CDs. Just move on, Leah.
You can still watch him as an athlete, though.
Yeah, sure. Well, you can't. When he performs, with that sport he does.
Right.
Everyone's impressed.
Nothing better.
That's why I want to have Leah on, is to find out what's he an example of and what is he an athlete of.
All right. We're booking Leah tomorrow.
There's so much we don't know about Cody Simpson.
Half an hour with Leah coming up. Bump everybody else.
Today's celebrity birthday is Catherine O'Hara, 60 years old today. Michael T. Williamson is 57. Patricia Heaton is 56. Steven Weber, very funny man and very talented actor, 53 years old today. Evan Dano of the Lemonheads, 47. Actress and singer Patsy Kensit. And we think one-time wife or still wife of one of the Gallagher brothers from Oasis, 46 years old. And soccer player Landon Donovan. Kevin, Landy Cakes.
Why do you hate?
Because you've got a man crush on Landy Cakes.
I like the Galaxy. He's a good player. I admire him. He's a great athlete.
Yeah. You have all his Build-A-Bears?
He's a good example.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have comedian Jim Jeffries, one of our favorites, talking about Legit. And he's doing some stand-up at Club Nokia. We'll talk to him tomorrow. We also have Adam Carolla with This Week in Rage.
Yeah.
From the Anaheim Ducks, we have Timu Solani. And,
wow. Don't bury the lead.
And Billy Connolly.
Oh!
Comedian.
I worship at the temple of Billy Connolly.
Comedian Billy Connolly.
He's the man.
See, this is going to be bad because Ralph loves him so much. And we're going to, I know I'm going to say something stupid, or Bean's going to say something stupid, and you're going to hate us forever.
Yeah.
Because Billy Connolly is your
hero. He's a great example.
Okay.
Are you going to tell him when his career ended?
I have no idea what you're
talking
about.
When he peaked?
Your career's over in 78, wasn't it?
That will not happen. Uh-huh. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show.